International Energy Agency has dropped another bombshell from its Paris headquarters, unleashing a fresh 10-point plan dubbed Sheltering from Oil Shocks. Released amid Brent crude spiking toward $120 a barrel and the Strait of Hormuz largely shut down, the document urges governments to slash global oil demand by an estimated 2.7 million barrels per day within 4 months. Key COVID 2.0-esque measures include mandating work from home up to 3 days a week, dropping highway speed limits by at least 6 to 10 miles per hour, imposing car-free Sundays in major cities, alternating vehicle access by license plate where odd-numbered plates get access on certain days and even-numbered plates get access on the other days, pushing carpooling and public transportation as we dwell in a reality where all of the machete-wielding lunatics are free to injure anyone they please under Blue City Soros DAs, cutting non-essential business flights by 40%, and promoting efficient trucking and rail alternatives. Yeah, you know, the trucking industry, rife with illegal aliens.
This illegal immigrant came into America in March of 2022. He was given a federal work permit by the Biden-Harris administration, and Gavin Newsom gave him a CDL license. On this day, he was driving intoxicated. When the traffic in front of him slowed down, he didn't slow down, and he plowed right through 8 cars, immediately killing 3 individuals and seriously injuring 4.
And the rail alternative from the likes of the $16 billion California Governor Newsom burned to create nothing.
If you want to be big, you got to be big in big things. This is the only high-speed rail system of its type anywhere in the United States of America. You could talk all you want. You guys are actually delivering, making things happen.
On the surface, it reads like pragmatic crisis management for a genuine supply crunch. But we just went through this engineered behavioral control bureaucratic nightmare. And in some respects, we still are. And I guarantee the American people are not gonna line up like sheep this time. This isn't the first time the IEA has rolled out such a blueprint. Back in 2022, amid the Russia-Ukraine fallout, they issued an almost identical 10-point plan to cut oil use that pushed remote work, slower speeds, car-free days, and reduced air travel, measures that conveniently aligned with the post-COVID new normal of emerging restricted mobility and digital surveillance. Now, in 2026, the agency is recycling the playbook under the guise of sheltering consumers with language like immediate actions for advanced economies and heavy emphasis on limiting personal freedom of movement that will quickly morph into policy mandates, fines, internment camps, and enforcement grids. The IEA's own net zero by 2050 roadmap has long telegraphed the end game, slashing fossil fuel demand not through abundant cheap energy, but through rationing your lifestyle. The populace corralled like sheep, all while the elites jet between climate summits and award ceremonies. Expect the usual cascade towards establishment insolence, where corporate compliance, media cheerleading, and gradual normalization of surveillance apps to optimize your carbon or oil footprint ramp up. The Agenda 2030 goal is less than 4 years away, and the fools are going for broke. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
What's this? Oh, I've got power plant. Oh, what's this? I've got methyl drive. The two ingredients in the power drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
You're listening to The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, we are doing it, guys. We are rainy in the morning for the final time this week. It is Friday. It is The American Journal. It's Rex Jones, your host, coming at you live again to go over the news, the topics, the information, and also what you want to talk about. We're going to have Alex Stein on the show at 10 a.m. today, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Really looking forward to talking to him. He's been at CPAC, and, you know, as a kid here, when people would go to CPAC, when people would go to these big events or whatnot, I would always want to go. And my dad, you know, God bless him, he would always find a reason not to take me. And, you know, in hindsight, I'm very grateful because those environments are very chaotic. You got a lot of people running around trying to clip farm on each other. And although I've been in protest environments and in the street environments, it's kind of a whole nother animal to go to kind of a political gala like that. I'm glad I didn't go. But now apparently it's dead. And I've heard that from him. I've heard that from multiple people. It's going to be very interesting to talk to him and see what he thinks about the current state of things at CPAC. But I want to get into some more variety and spice of life stories in the morning. Things about the home life, things about the American future that might be interesting. And we've got this thing coming up here. Let me see where I've got it. Check this out, because this is about as feel good of a story as you're going to get in today's modern media environment. It's not a bomb. It's not a nuke. It's not a missile. It's not a trade route that's shut down. Melania Trump brings an AI-powered robot to the White House and says there could be more of them soon. Oh, well, I bet there will be. The storied White House East Room has welcomed politicians, foreign dignitaries, war heroes, celebrities, and elite athletes. But on Wednesday, it was the setting for an extremely robotic speech. Oh, pun intended, I guess, introducing First Lady Melania Trump. The speaker was American-made humanoid robot. See, it'll be sold to you as long as it's made in America. That'll make it okay. Thank you, First Lady Trump, for inviting me to the White House, the female voice, which it introduced itself as Figure 3, said, describing its prime speaking slot at Trump Summit on AI Education and Safety for Children as an honor. Okay. A little burp there from me. Not a problem. Not a problem. We're going to continue. It continued. I am grateful to be a part of this historic moment to empower children with technology and education. And there's an audience of first spouses. What does that even mean? So, all right. Is this true? Like, Hunger Games, Brave New World, 1984, like worship of the elites they're talking about? An audience of first spouses from around the globe and representatives of tech companies stood in silence. Why are there special gatherings of people that arise to, you know, spread this new technology and get in the elite club with it? That rubs me the completely wrong way. Taken in the scene, they were perhaps relieved when it went off without any major technical difficulties. The robot is made by an AI robotics company named Figure. Walked tentatively through the room on its 2 feet and concluded its remarks with welcomes in 11 different languages. Okay. Like, we all know about Google Translate, little bro. It's not that impressive. It's not that impressive. We'll see what this turns into. Here's the thing. I don't need to go into it any further. I can just talk about the topic. And this is definitely something I'm interested in hearing what you guys have to say about it. I hate this type of stuff. Whenever I go to the grocery store, you know, maybe this is my dad and me, right? When I would grow up as a kid and we would go to like a gas station or grocery store or whatever, and I would try to get like the aspartame gum, he would slap it out of my hand. He'd say, "Don't you know that's bacteria waste product? Don't you know that's diarrhea? You're putting diarrhea in your mouth." And I was like, okay, all right, I won't chew 5 gum or whatever. You've convinced me. But now my thing is, when I go to these grocery stores, when I do my own shopping or whatever, and I go to the self-checkout, and you just have the elimination of like 6 to 8 people's jobs, probably even more than that, because you don't have baggers as well. You have to do the job of 2 people now. That's the worst deal you're getting as a consumer as we slide into techno-feudalism and slavery. But by doing the self-checkout, they eliminate somebody's job. They make you the worker. They make you in the servant role. And then they indemnify and protect themselves from any kind of liability. Because if you do something, it's all on video. They got you right there, right? They got you right there. So whenever I go to Central Market or HEB or a place like this and I'm talking to somebody next to me at the self-checkout, I'll be like, hey, I mean, you know, they did this to like, get rid of 2 people's jobs, right? Just that one place alone. They do this because they don't want to pay somebody $30,000, $40,000 a year. They want to pay somebody $0. They want to pay the electrical bill. That's all they care about. And then those people, they'll start to, oh, well, you know, I just want to... And they don't even want to engage with you. They don't even want to have a real conversation with you. Sure, a couple of times it's happened, but the vast majority of times people will, number one, they'll realize that you're right. Okay, they'll never say you're wrong. They realize that you're right. And then, number two, they'll walk away because they don't want to deal with it because it breaks their suspension of disbelief. Now, you may ask, what is suspension of disbelief? Suspension of disbelief is like when you watch the Avengers and you see Chris Hemsworth or whatever his name is fly around with the hammer. And you believing that, like, not that it's real, but like it could happen theoretically. So you watch it in the movie. These people is like, well, you know, theoretically everything could be okay. And the billionaires could want to take care of us and it could be all right. But you know, just like someone looking at a movie screen, that's not real. So when you break that connection with people, they kind of start to lose their mind. I personally, and you know what? I may be wrong. And you may think I'm wrong for this. Maybe you want one. I watched Owen Schroyer's show last night. He says he wants a robot. I think humanoid robots must be made illegal. I'm a firm believer in this. Call me a pseudo-Luddite, if you will. I'm not against technology necessarily, but if we get to a point where it can imitate the human form to such a degree that you basically have an autonomous slave worker that can either be a soldier, a laborer, a doer of dirty deeds, both legal and illegal, so to speak. If we get to that point where humans are totally phased out, like that's how you get the population collapse. That's how you get the mass murder. That's how you get the control grid, because, you know, it's all cute and cuddly now that we can still technically protect ourselves against a tyrannical government. But when they got 1 million droids and 10 million drones, it's over, right? So we've got to be recognizant of this. And just like we have a Second Amendment to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government, we need a protection. We need a new AI, computer, electronic, digital bill of rights. That's what we really need in this country. There are so many things they're going to try to strip away. I mean, we're just looking at this one case where it's the robot and it's cute and cuddly and it walks around. It may be what it is. It's cute, I guess, but you know, this is just going to be factored into other things like the repealing of Section 230. They're going to try to make it so these platforms can act as publishers and not platforms and therefore have the ability to truly censor and whittle down and control what people say. It'll all be phased into people watching AI artists, AI musicians, AI podcasts, AI broadcast, AI shows. I mean, in 5 years, I will have to compete with a digital version of me that's nearly identical, but better looking, more well-researched, just impersonal. That's the only advantage I'll have over it, right? It'll look correct. It'll talk correct. It'll have a nicer voice than me. It won't stutter like I stutter. It won't mess up on words like I mess up, but it's not real. And you may say, well, Rex, that sounds hyper unrealistic. How does something like that happen? People are always, they've always been interested in other people. They're not going to be interested in pixels or a screen. And that may be true for Boomer, Gen X, even Millennial, maybe less true for Gen Z, but still somewhat true. When you have Gen Alpha, when you have younger Gen Z, when you have these groups of people that become a massive market once they become old enough to be targeted, and let's be honest, children are still targeted by the companies as well. They try to wring money out any way they can, but directly when they're able to be targeted, you're going to see this entire world of media just appear. Here that wasn't there like 6 months ago, and like metaverse and all Zuckerberg's failed projects, there's going to be a hybridized version of that, which includes live streaming. That's my prediction I'm making right now. I've thought about that a lot, you know, because like we'll get into it a little bit later in the broadcast when we check the clock. Okay, we got 14 minutes. We'll check in on this a little later in the broadcast, but like y'all know who this clavicular guy is. If you're over the age of 30, you probably don't. I don't blame you. I wish I didn't know, to be honest with you. That being said, Fuentes is like in love with him. Take that how you will, but he really is. He covers it like it's nightly news because it is not like nightly news. See, AI wouldn't talk like that. It is nightly news for Zoomers, for teenagers, for the young people. Basically, what the IRL streaming culture is these guys walk around live like 12 to 24 hours a day. I think he did a thing where he was live for 30 days for 24 hours. And I'll tell you right now, like I did 5 hours yesterday live. I did a morning show. And then I went and did like a 90-minute, two-hour show with Tim Topkins on the Gray Area, hosted Thursday, Sunday. Please check it out. So in that five-hour time period, I am completely done. I can't even think after I'm done. I'm just like, I want to walk the dog. I want to eat steak. I want to play Fortnite. I'm going to go to bed, which is exactly what I did. And I think that's pretty base, too, by the way. I think that's pretty base and red-pilled. These people, they're live 24/7. And eventually you're going to have a computer, some sort of digital thing, some avatar that's able to compete with that. But you're seeing the model get trained up, because as kids, as adults, as everybody learns to consume more media, what they want is more long format. That's what they demand. And eventually you're going to be able to procedurally generate that, just like I thought about this kind of as a novel concept. Maybe you've thought about this. Like I'm someone, I really like story games, like adventure-based games, like RPGs and stuff like that. I think that they're pretty fun. Right? Like Warhammer Rogue Trader, I really enjoyed that game. But you're going to reach a world where you don't just have a bunch of varied sets of endings that are already programmed in, and that's the limited set that you can do in the game. You're going to have games where the beginning is 10 million choices, and every step after that is 10 million choices. It's going to be a real-world environment, and when that digital world is so comforting and so real and so varied, and you're actually a winner in there, because you can't be a winner in real life. Everything's too expensive, inflation, you'll never own a house, you'll never have a kid. This is what we're told by the government. It's bad for the planet. You're bad for the planet. You have to go away. But they will create this digital cradle that is so welcoming, that is so freeing, kind of in an evil Faustian way, where you choose to sign on to that. You don't have any problems anymore, buddy boy, because you went space now. And hey, you know, you can't wipe your own butt. We got the robot to do that for you. So you'll be plugged in. You'll be like, and you'll be just playing the games or doing whatever. And then the robot will come in and wipe your butt for you. And that's what we're getting closer to, because people, the screen time goes up, the literacy rates go down. I was talking to Reese about this. You know, some people interpret colors as words, you know, because they can't read. Like, it would be a lot better world for Fauci, for Bill Gates, for Klaus Schwab, for all these people, all these super elites, so-called super elites, really turtlet people, for all these people, if everyone was like that, if everyone was a Wall-E person. And that's what we're getting closer to. I really hate the AI robot story. That's why it's the first thing we covered first. It pisses me off. Not cool. Let me see. Ooh, let me read this. Let me read this, guys. This is a Trump quote. Okay, overhead shot, please. Trump described the moment as an inflection point for technology and humanity and offered her. Okay, I guess this is somebody else saying it's not Trump. Got to retract. This is someone else at the event speaking for Trump in this context. Okay, I just want to give you clarification. The future of AI is personified. When did we consent to that? When did we say that was ethically or morally okay? Apparently, you can't shoot a dead alligator, but you can copy the image of God and make it a digital machine. I rest my case. It will be formed in the shape of the human. Very soon, artificial intelligence will move from our mobile phones to humanoids that deliver utility that fails you out and make you die. Are we okay with that? I completely reject it. I hope you reject it too. That's always been a key InfoWars message. We're pro-humanity. Anything these damn computers, machines can do, we can do better. They shouldn't copy our image. They shouldn't copy divine and human form. They shouldn't do these things. I view it as an utter violation. But let's get into one more little quickie really quick before we get over here. And then I'll talk about the clavicular thing next segment. Ridiculous. USPS adding 8% fuel surcharge starting April 26. Let me tell you right now, I'm in the fulfillment business. I'm in the logistics business. Have been for years. Been in supplements overall for longer, e-commerce and manufacturing for longer. But I've been in shipping for about 2 years now. This directly hurts me. Price increases already happened twice a year with these people. Twice a year, you have to pay more. And I'll be honest with you, for your shipping on a lot of products, it's going to go up a few to several dollars. Okay, that varies on weight. Weight is a big factor here. And there are a number of other things, whether you have a rural or bulk pickup, that I'm having to figure out now. But things that used to work great for me, like having a rural carrier, now actually hurt me now because they have to drive more. Go figure. So another win from the administration. I'll read a little bit of this article here if we can get the article itself punched up on the screen. And I hate how the people that write these things always have to make it sound cute. It makes me want to puke. This is why AI is a bad writer, because it copied too many of these people who thought that they were English teachers. The mailman might always ring twice, but this spring it will charge you more. Yet another everyday cost creeping higher. The United States Postal Service is getting ready to tack on a fuel surcharge to package deliveries for the first time ever as rising transportation costs start catching up with the agency. So I'll read more of it. This is not something that's going away. USPS shared the update in a recent press release saying it plans to introduce it's a temporary price increase. You don't have to worry about that now. Increase on services like Priority Mail Express, Priority Mail, UPS, Ground Advantage, and Parcel Select, with the change expected to start in late April if regulators sign off. Regular mail and first-class stamps won't be affected. Diesel prices have climbed more than 40% in just a month. Is that what you voted for? It's not what I voted for. I voted for $2 gas. I voted for really cheap diesel. I didn't vote for this. Driven in part by global supply chain disruptions tied to tensions in the Middle East. You mean the war? You mean the war in the Middle East? They propagandized it. And the people that read the most news are the most mid-witted, and they're the most proud of, like, the fake information that they know. Like, well, you know, the conflict in Iran, the conflict in the Middle East, it's actually, you know, Trump must take care of it. He's doing a good job, but he's got to go ahead and get things wrapped up now. And it's always a damn foreigner, okay? No offense to the foreigners, but if you're not an American, if you're talking about our foreign policy as far as what our military should do in an offensive, aggressive context, you need to shut up. Okay, you need to put on your red coat, get on your bike, get on your tricycle, because you probably can't ride a bicycle. Get on a tricycle, get on your bike and go home. In the words of Tony G, you can't do it like Tony G does. But reading more of it, up until now, USPS has avoided doing the same. Carriers like FedEx and UPS have long relied on fuel surcharges and have adjusted them upward as oil prices climb, but USPS had managed to avoid it until now. It says the surcharge is temporary and plans to phase it out in early 2027. Okay, well, none of us believe that. Very clearly, none of us believe that. Let's get to this. U.S. Treasury plans to put Trump's signature on new paper currency for first time for a sitting president. Now, if that's not a sign of the times, I don't know what is. It's just bad luck to do some of these things. Like, it's bad luck to make fun of somebody. It's bad luck to be mean to somebody. It's bad luck to have schadenfreude, to laugh at somebody else's pain. It's also bad luck to put your name on the money that you're rapidly devaluing. And trying to kill, actually, he's trying to kill the dollar. So, like by putting his signature on the dollar, he's basically signing its ransom note. What do we think about this? You want a collectible Trump 100? I kind of do, to be honest. I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna frame it, and then the economy will probably crash 6 months later after those come out. That'd probably be my prediction. If you wanted to bet, when the next Great Depression happened, it would be when the last of those bills probably enter circulation. I think that's really a death knell signal for the country. Let's see. Could this weekend's No Kings protest be the largest ever? We're doing more of this. We're doing more No Kings. I'm interested in this. Let's punch that up really quick because I haven't seen this article. This is something Tim Tompkins threw in the rundown. Tim, of course, is not here today, but he'll be here Monday through Wednesday next week holding it now with me. We're doing American Journal as long as we can do American Journal. If we can get that punched up, could this weekend's No Kings protest be the largest ever? I personally view it as a psyop, and let me tell you why. It's a reverse psyop. Here's the thing. Even if you don't agree with the liberals, even if you laugh at them, call them crazy, I mean, they're wearing even American flags. They're saying no kings, no crowns, no crybabies. I agree with that message. They're being anti-war. They're saying the president doesn't have the authority to do some of these actions that he's doing. And you can look at that, and you can disagree with it. And that's totally fine. But a lot of the narrative that I saw, even stuff on this network, I'll be honest with you, was saying, you know, like, this is some sort of Antifa plot. This is some sort of uprising, Podesta plan. Me and my dad would probably argue about this. So you get a little disagreement here. Podesta plan. I drove around Austin. I saw the No Kings protest. A bunch of boomers, a bunch of old people. So, and you know what? They probably all support the war in Ukraine. They probably want to send Zelensky 1,000 more missiles. They probably want to give him another $100 billion. So
I just, it's hard for me, and I don't say this arrogantly in any way. I really don't. Like, I'm a retard. I'll just be honest with you. But I think I have the correct opinion. I think I know what's right about American politics, and I just look at it, and you have people on either side that have a good position. They're pro Second Amendment and want a strong border and want American sovereignty, but they also want to fight a war for Israel. They also think that Trump giving all the AI data centers infinite money is good. And then on the left, they don't like Israel. They see the colonial project, they see the apartheid, they see all of it. But oh no! Zelensky is incredible, and we must give him a gazillion dollars, even though he's literally run by neo Nazis. And then when you have context for all these things, it doesn't take a genius to understand them. Man, it's just, what are the American people out there really protesting for? What do they really want out of this? Like, why are you really out there on the street? What policy are you out there for? What elected official are you either protesting or trying to get in there? To me, like, this is why I feel like I have to be involved, and I have to help out both on the left and the right, is because these people, they don't talk about issues or principles. It's just kind of a vibes thing. We watched that John Doyle, I almost forgot his name, watched that little weasel talk yesterday, and he pointed out all the issues and platforms us voters cared about. He called it vibes, and he said, oh no, you need to subscribe to the logical, empirical evidence that Trump is the God King and that everything's about him. That's literally what he said, just boiled down into a 30-second synopsis. Right? Oh, and I lost my train of thought. Crew, what was I talking about? Okay, the No Kings protest. So, John Doyle, No Kings, what was I saying? All right, you know what? I don't deserve to criticize anybody. I got a little tongue-tied there. I forgot the point I was trying to make. I'm going to go ahead and close out the segment like this. Whether we're talking about the No Kings people or whether we're talking about people on the right, they don't have – this is what I was saying. They don't have issues and platforms that are actually trying to protest or run on or change. It's just a vibes-based mission of the bad people are in charge. We got to get our side, which is implicitly the good people, back in power. Yeah, vibes, bro. It's all about hanging out, man. Like, we're gonna get the orange dude out of there, bro, and we're gonna get a real winner in there. But there are no real winners, because everyone these people subscribe to is also a terrorist, is also a war criminal, would also fund any and every foreign project that was put in front of them if they had the ability to do so. You gotta ask the crew where the cough switch is. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I sit here and I feel like I have rudimentary but decent knowledge and understanding of these world conflicts, these world events, and what's caused us to end up where we are today here in America. And I want to bring people together on issues. I want to get people out there actually saying, hey, we are anti-war. Not the vibe, not the pride flag, not the whatever. It's not Trump's hunting trans legal people. We are anti-war. We are anti-genocide. We are a pro-freedom country, and we reject this. And if you're out there with that message, if you're protesting on that regard, that's something that I myself can get behind. So I'd like to see a lot more of that. I'll be advocating for a lot more of that. That's really what I'm about, is peaceful, nonviolent civil action, you know, civil disobedience, getting out there. And I think that's one of the many things you'll see in this country as things get more serious and as the consequences of bad leadership become unavoidable. You're going to see people from this country, from both left, right, and center, all coming together and demanding actual practical solutions. So, wow. Very cool. Very great. Really looking forward to being your next segment with you guys. Don't forget I love you. Don't forget I miss you. Don't forget to go to thealexjonesstore.com and get all the phenomenal vitamins, minerals, supplements, Shilajit, Methylene Blue, anything and everything you can think of on thealexjonesstore.com right now. Subscribe and get a free limited edition t-shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is funded by you. I am not funded by the Israelis, the Russians, the Iranians, the Qataris, the Democrats, the Republicans, any NGOs, any of that. I'm funded by the few sponsors we have that are amazing, like Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, and our supplements, t-shirts, great knives, you name it. Everything we sell is something I think's cool, that I think's great, that works really well. And I'm here to tell you folks that supplements are one of the fastest growing industries in the last 30 years. Go to Whole Foods, go anywhere, it's like it just gets bigger and bigger because they work. There's a lot of great stuff at Whole Foods or GNC. But what we sell is the creme de la creme at prices way lower than you can get the exact same thing at Whole Foods, because most of what we have is just private label of already a top brand. I don't reinvent the wheel. When something's got top ratings, totally tested, 5 stars, we can private label it. Baby, we just slap our name on it and sell it to you at a discount. But some of the stuff, like T3, is the only true atomic iodine. And I didn't mean it's radioactive. It's on the atomic table. It's the good halogen, the opposite of fluoride. You have to have a DEA license to manufacture this. Nobody does it but us. It takes up to 8 weeks to make it. It's made in Arizona. This is the same as X2, but even stronger. It's a patented process. T3 iodine is now available at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a flash sale that's only going until tomorrow night at midnight Central Time, 1 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Pacific. And that is the two awesome vehicles. One of the offers is ending. The new one started this week. So you can get put in to the raffle 500 entries. Excuse me. You can put in 100 entries. There are only just 5 entries for everything you buy in the store each time for the raffle to be able to get the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 and the 2025 Ford Raptor plus $20,000 in cash. Normally, each thing you buy, each time you're on the store, you get 5X entry into the lottery. This to the raffle, this is 100X until midnight Central tomorrow. So take advantage of that. But even cooler is the backpack Faraday bag. They only got a limited number of these 5-6 months ago. They sold out in 1 day. They got a lot more this time, but it's still a limited run. I bet this is sold out in less than a week. It is a beautiful backpack with all these inner pockets and zippers. And it's just amazing. I bought a similar bag for over $500 years ago. This is amazing. It protects your phones, your laptops, your iPads from being tracked. When you don't have them in these, everywhere you go, you're being tracked by private corporations, criminals, government, you name it. Plus, if there's an EMP blast, you name it, it protects what you got. So you want to keep stuff in your house that you'll save from that. It's also great to do that. And it comes with a whole bunch of free gifts inside of it. Because these bags are usually, you know, over $500. It's a $600 value. You get it for $249 if you're a VIP member, $199. And you get an America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife, America First Limited Edition T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Brain Boosters and Immune Boosting Shilajit Gummies and Capsules, CMOS Gummies and Capsules. That's 2 bottles. Each War Cry Premium Smelling Salts and so much more in the bag. Get it now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and keep us on the air. Plus, these are great products.
Welcome back to the show, Rex Jones, American Journal. Happy to be here with you today. Always am in the morning. I don't know what you're doing. I hope it's good. I hope it makes God happy, whether that's drinking coffee, working out, going to work, driving the kids to school, whatever it is. I'm honored that you've chosen to spend this time with me. Picking up on the last thing I was talking about, I didn't realize how big it was. So they've done more than 3,100 events that were planned nationwide to protest Trump on March 28th. So that is a big deal. That is nationwide. That is a nationwide movement. And that's something we're going to be tracking going forward into the future. I personally think that people haven't even conceptualized or articulated either in media or in their private conversations with themselves. They haven't even started to realize yet just how tumultuous 2028 is going to be. I believe that's the same year kind of like 1929, Great Depression. You're going to see economic factors come into play. You're going to see somebody who's a dark horse candidate, somebody you haven't thought of is going to become president. It won't be JD. It won't be Rubio. It won't be Bernie. It won't be Kamala. It won't be someone like that. It's going to be someone you're not thinking about, and it's going to be because of stories like this one the undercurrent of people getting mad and getting out there in the street, more than 3,100 protests, and also the domestic destruction of infrastructure at home. So something I talked about with Michael Yon was how they're trying to shut down these global energy routes, how they're trying to create famine, starvation, crisis, because something we've always talked about on the network is, hey, what are the established goals of these Satanist pedophiles that apparently run the planet, that do run the planet? And that's all come out now. It's all public information. It's all available. Well, they want to get the population down because, you know, they're God and they've decided that that's okay and that they have the moral and legal authority to make such a decision. They want the population down and gone. They want 500 million people and they want a control grid of robots and people they control. And you take a look at this footage. Of course, we've got the Texas oil refinery that's burning right now, burning, burning, burning. And now, now the farms are starting to get hit. Now the meat processing plants are starting to get hit. Isn't that interesting how everything falls apart and melts down all at once? All these things are isolated incidents. I'm sure there's no evidence of any terrorism. It's pure speculation, but it is a little weird when these conflicts start happening, whether it's a COVID conflict, and that was a war. It was just a war on us, the American people, and other populations around the world. You see factories, you see farms, you see meat processing plants, you see everything required to maintain modern infrastructure and life just start burning down. And can't make any claims about it. Of course, you probably make claims about it. They'll sue you. Who knows, right? But someone's profiting off it. Someone's making money off the insurance. These things only hurt the economy, really. They don't even hurt the person that owns the business, because the person or entity, probably the more proper way to say it, the entity that owns the business is just happy to cash in on the insurance check and to jack up the market. So that's the American economy. That's what capitalism is. I like that we say that we have capitalism. We really have a system that's kind of similar, or very similar to the Chinese system of a state-owned communist capitalism, where you have these giant monopolies that the government has a stake in, and well, they run everything, they control everything, and they can take the hit when you can't. So when they squeeze you, whether it's me, the small business owner, or the employee, they make you work more, whatever they're gonna do, whether you're an employer or an employee, their goal is to force the little guy out of business. Now, with me, they do that with red tape. They do that with regulations that I can't afford to pay and that they can. Now, with you, the worker, the employed, they don't have a way to do that for you just yet, but they're working on it. And that's why we talked about the robot, because when the robot is doing your job, it won't matter anymore. And the goal is to have no small businesses. The goal is to have no employees. The goal is to have that. To have that ugly General Grievous monstrosity walking around imitating the human form, it should be decommissioned immediately. It should be used to make those Japanese smart toilets, and we should all get a free Japanese smart toilet. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I'm not opposed to the robot taking toilet form. Because the toilet can't do Terminator. Maybe it could. Maybe the toilet has AI and it hacks into the nuclear weapon and it kills us all anyway. You know, scalding water up the butthole. You know, many, many various things could happen. But, you know, we're edging closer and closer towards a scenario like this. And getting back to the story I was covering, talking about the fire at the farm, the fire at the oil plant, all this type of stuff. It's just, it's a little too weird to be happening in isolation, because it's not happening in isolation. We're tracking all these global events. But, okay, you were talking about it earlier. And Terminator toilet, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How much is that? You know, some guy in Southern California probably has one of those. Maybe in Tucson. It's not bad. Let me go back to the toilet real quick. Terminator. Okay. All right. But I was going to get to this, and it was me talking earlier about how I kind of see the evolution of streaming, the evolution of content. I refuse to use the word, except ironically, I absolutely hate it. We do media here. We never done content, even if that's what people call it now. I remember a time before we called it content, long before. But we're going to reach an age where people just want to be terminally plugged in, and when even their stars, like this clavicular guy, when 12 hours a day isn't enough, when 18 hours a day isn't enough, when they literally can't watch you sleep, they want to feel like they're in the room with you, eventually they will create an experience where you are. You're in the metaverse. You're in the digital realm. You're in the digital space. Oh, Oh, Zuckerberg did it. It failed. It failed. Metaverse failed. There's no metaverse. Just don't pay attention. Go to sleep. La, la, la. Happy time. Fentanyl deaths. Forced government euthanasia. And then you wake up and the metaverse exists. All this stuff is going to come out in like 6 months. Not in 6 months from today, but like just in 6 months, like from the date of the first release of the brand new technology to the end of it, to where it's accessible, like Xbox, a new release would be in every store after like a Black Friday or whatever. That's going to be the world that we enter into. And the people that are helping usher it in right now, it really is, you know, the IRL streamers, because they're creating that culture. And, you know, some of the stuff I've seen, we watched that Raja Jackson, the son of Rampage Jackson guy, and he went to a wrestling event and he got in the ring and gave the guy brain damage and picked him up and slammed him when he wasn't expecting it. Then we've got Clavicular, who uses the hormonal drug and uses the ketamine, little sniff sniff time. Like, I've done that. Not anymore, but I don't approve of it. He probably shouldn't do that. You should be very careful when doing stuff like that. The drug use on stream, the letting women hit him and then calling cops and stuff, running over people in a cyber truck. It's designed to generate attention, because when you're in the seventh grade, when you're in the ninth grade, when you're in college or whatever, all you want to go is to, dude, bruh, check it out. Get the vibes man up again. Let's get vibes man up again. Did you see the latest video, bro? He killed the alligator, man. It's crazy. And here's the thing. I can talk about it because I've talked the talk. I've walked the walk. When I was 13, I may have been 14, I killed 3 alligators in Port Lavaca, Texas, okay? And the way you do that is you take a giant piece of chicken wire and you attach it to a hook and you throw it in the water attached to a chicken carcass, and the gator comes at night and it eats the chicken and it gets the hook caught so it can't leave. And then you pull it into the boat, and then when you're pulling it into the boat, you bam, you shoot it in the head and you stab it where the wound is with a knife. That's how you kill an alligator. But I did that with my granddad back in the day. You know, I'll get into a little anecdote here. We'll talk about that a little bit. So we go out there. We're staying at a Holiday Inn beforehand. He's like, you better get breakfast. You sure might not. You know, I'm fine. I ate like one banana, right? We go out there on a airboat, probably similar to this. Although this doesn't look much like an airboat to me. Actually, is it an airboat? Yeah, it is an airboat. I've been on a boat exactly like that, okay? Me, my granddad, and the guide, we go out there. We have a great time. We get the 3 alligators. Bam, bam, bam. Shoot them in the head. Stab them. Do whatever. And then the guy's like, well, you want to see what the boat can do? And we're like, okay, all right. So he runs us up on a clay flat. And we get totally stuck. And him and my granddad have to walk like a couple to a few miles away where he knows a guy with a house. And they have to literally walk through and out of the swamp. And I'm sitting in the boat with 3 dead alligators and a gun, just sitting like this, hanging out, chilling. I just start seeing the leeches crawl up over the boat. And I was like, this is like a horror movie. I didn't know this existed. But literally thousands upon thousands of them. I put down the gun and I get a broom. And I was like, da, da, da. I was like, I understand now why this is on the boat. But they're out there. They're in Florida. I think they have different laws in Florida. Here in Texas, you have to have a tag. Like, that's absolutely non-negotiable. You have to have a tag. They are considered like a threat, but they're not a varmint animal necessarily. I've got the printout on the animal cruelty laws. I sent it to the American Journal email account, if y'all could print that so I could read it to people. But I'm belaboring the point here. What they did basically, it wasn't even alive, which is like really weak. Like, if you're gonna commit the crime, okay, if you're gonna possibly spend 5 years in jail, felony charges for offing an alligator, why don't you get like the giant 13-foot bull alligator? It's like, and it's like crawling through the swamp, and you like snipe it in the head, and it just explodes. That would be cool. That'd be like based, right? But you shoot a carcass just like floating there. What's up with that? And apparently, he also closes his eyes when he shoots the gun. Come on, bro. What's going on here, mate? I don't want to shoot. Let's be real. Let's be manly. No. We're going to go back and enhance. This is why I'm glad I got the crew. Enhance video feed. We're going to pause it. Hold on. Pause. No. Oh, we missed it a little bit. It's a little further back. We got to find it where he's squinting. Pause it now. Oh, no. See, when you're closing one eye, and even if you're closing one eye, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have both eyes open. If you're closing one eye, it's going to be like this. He's closing them both. So it's like, that's the expression he's making. All right, that's not good. So here's the deal. Apparently, I didn't know this until this morning when I heard about this news story. Apparently, it's a crime to desecrate an animal corpse. Now, I've never done that, so I didn't know it was a crime. I didn't even think it was something that you could do. But apparently, like, it can cause emotional distress to someone that sees it. It's like messing with the environment in a negative way or whatever. I think that's kind of BS. Right? I think that's kind of bullshit. I think that's kind of BS. I don't think that's valid. I think you should be able to shoot something that's already dead. But apparently this is a crime, and I'll tell you why. We've got the printout right here. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. All right. So why is this illegal? And this is a learning corner moment now. We get to learn something and have fun. The legality of mutilating a dead animal corpse depends on the specific jurisdiction, as laws vary significantly between states and municipalities, blah, 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 blah. Who cares? While animal cruelty typically refers to the mistreatment of living animals, many regions have specific statutes like Florida that prohibit the mutilation of animal remains. What are we oohing and aahing about back there? All right, the crew just had a little moment. I was wondering what. I'm not included in the fun. Look how that is. I'm in the aquarium swimming around for you guys. But dude, they're gonna die. This is Idiocracy, man. I can't even be forget. He flags himself. Talk about infertility. Forget about the drugs. Holy Toledo, man. All right. We don't need to watch that again because it's Gooch related. Pause. We don't need to watch that 24/7, but he shoots the dead animal corpse and then he sticks the pistol directly in his, nutsack area, so to speak. Real Mensa Award winners, but listen to this. It's a third-degree felony charge, punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. He doesn't care about the fine. He'll get off again, but the question is, when won't he? And, I got to say, other people, like if Tim was here, I know Tim would be very critical of this, and I understand his perspective. I don't really care. I don't think it should be a crime at all. Free clavicular, he didn't do anything wrong, but flag himself and almost shoot his nutsack off. We'll play it one more time. Let's go back to that one more time. Very important. This is what not to do with a loaded weapon, with a firearm. What's the number one rule of gun safety? Never point the gun at anything you're not willing to obliterate or destroy. Okay, and we got the squinting. He is scared. This is a panic response. Look at this. He sticks the gun right next to a ding-dong. That's not a good long-term survival strategy. Okay, we've done enough of that. But eventually, just kind of it seems through Darwin Award process, these streamers are going to, they're going to start meeting some ends. And I don't wish that on anybody. I want them to all be okay. We got Raja Jackson. That's another example. Rampage Jackson blocked me on Twitter. Why'd you do that? I was making a valid point, argument. Respond to me instead of just blocking me. This kid, he goes to this, not even a kid. I shouldn't call him a kid. He's older than me. Definitely not a kid, man, if you're older than me. So this guy, he goes to this regional wrestling show, wrestling event, and the wrestler sees, got the cameras on, sees live streaming. They try to do a little work, like a little kayfabe or whatever it's called, and they smash like a fake can of drink on his head, right? And then he gets outraged, and then nothing physical happens. The guy apologizes to him. It is what it is. Hours later, when that guy who did it to a psycho Stu is competing in the ring, Roger Jackson hops in when he's got his back turned, slams him on the ground, renders him unconscious, and then goes like, boom, 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 like 10 different times, 20 different times in his face, landing elbows, landing right hands, left hands, everything, just literally windmill swinging on top of him, like he'd swim through a pool. That's how he was throwing punches and stuff, man. And you know what's going to happen to him? He's going to jail, prison for a very long time. What's going to happen to Clavicular? He's probably going to shoot his ding-dong off. And then you can't be the Sigma Chad streamer anymore who gets all the women if they know you have no dick. So this is a very interesting problem. I hope he solves it. I'm being supportive here. This is what we call constructive criticism. As someone who live streams, as someone who's hunted alligators, as someone who the ladies love, and they all love Rex, let me tell you the truth about that. As someone who's done all these things, I can tell you, man, just don't stick the gun inside your crotch. You'll shoot your dick off! And we don't want that for anybody, okay, because that's a very nasty end. And ultimately, you can say, well, the clavicular, he runs around, he's a little bit goofy, he's a little bit druggy, he's a little bit weird, whatever. It's like going to the grocery store, and I'll tie it back into this, and you have someone that is covered in tattoos, maybe slightly distracted, but, you know, they're a damn good grocery bagger, and they're helping you. Maybe they off-put you a little bit, maybe think they're a little weird, but they're there to help you, and after they give you a smile, and you're like, damn, you know, I shouldn't have judged you. Versus a self-checkout where it's just a robot and you try to lie and steal anyway and it catches you and you go to jail. That's like what clavicular is versus the AI streamers, the AI broadcasters and programmers that are coming. So we've got to really make the decision that we love human imperfection. We love human craziness, human weirdness, human wildness, because eventually if the culture becomes purely AI dominated, if it becomes, can I say the P word? Female anatomy. That allowed. Okay, if the world becomes truly pussified, and I had to verify, I was allowed to say that, if we reach that level, then there aren't going to be any heroes or villains or epic stories to be told anymore, and then that's the end of humanity, okay? That's the boot stomping on the human face forever. What it really is the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference, okay? So, you know, I think he's like a national export that should be protected. I don't think he should have to go to jail for killing the alligator. He should have to take a mandatory firearms safety course immediately from a valuable and verified military professional to make sure he does not shoot his ding-dong off. That makes me upset. How are you going to have a gun and not know how to use it? How are you going to throw a rock and hide your hand? How are you going to have a gun and no bullets? How are you going to have a bullet and no guns? These are logical things. We must embrace complete systems. We must totally embrace them. But very interesting. I didn't know again that this was a crime to do. It's dead already. Keep in mind. You see a fish floating in a river and you shoot at it with the gun or whatever. You go to jail. You kidding me? It's like, oh, it's an alligator. It's protected. Okay. I don't really care about the alligator, but I understand it's valuable to some people. Let's get into one more story before the break. We've got, I'm going to save this as well. Let's go to the clip number 6. Let's see what people at CPAC are saying about the war in Iran and Trump's involvement in it. We'll get into a little bit of that into the next segment as well.
This is not a war. This is not an award. Oh, my God. I absolutely support the president of the United States of America.
CPAC in Dallas.
All right. I'm sorry, my northern fans. I know y'all are brave and made of stern stuff, and I know you're going to laugh at this, and it is a joke when I make it. But I did I played the video just so I could do the voice. I watched Dan Bongino. I watched the Bongino show. That's a Dan Bongino viewer. I wanted to give the viewers and listeners an example of what a Dan Bongino viewer and a confidant, acolyte, looks like, sounds like, whatever. That's it. So how are we ever going to compete with that? Okay, well, go ahead and play. Play the rest of it.
States America.
I'm at CPAC in Dallas. It's the biggest conservative conference in the country. And lots of people here are talking about the war in Iran. Trump is not speaking at this event this year. But in the past, when he has spoken here, he's talked a lot about not starting new wars.
When it comes to Iran, how do you feel about that?
I'm not happy at all. I mean, President Trump ran on no new wars. I feel like we've been opted into a war that shouldn't be ours. It should be Israel's.
We want to say, Mr. President, thank you. Thank you for helping Iranian people.
What do you think of the war with Iran at the moment?
Unfortunately, I think it's necessary.
You do?
Yes, and he's the only president that had the backbone to take it on.
Do you believe that Israel forced the U.S. into this war?
Absolutely not. Donald Trump does what Donald Trump wants to do.
I don't think Trump is really controlled by anybody, as much as everyone would like to control him, but I do question some of the things when it comes to, are we just going to bend over everything for Israel, you know?
What do you say to some Republican people who say, well, this is Israel's war, it shouldn't be America's war?
Go back to me.
That's not so. Israel is God's people. Those that bless Israel will be blessed. Curse Israel, they better watch out.
Do you feel disappointed in the president?
All right.
Do you still support him?
All right. Pause it. I just wanted to show you the guy at the beginning and the boomer. It's like that's just everything, right? You got like the uninformed Gen X dude who is just like rah-rah, Bongino, Trump, I love the merchandise. And then you've got the veteran boomer who literally fought for this country and still believes in the mythos. Like the brain is fully crystallized. And it's like, well, the Bible says, bless Israel, we'll be blessed as well. So, of course, we've got to fight and die for Israel. This will one day be like when you go, not to dinosaur exhibit, because that's too far removed. This will be like when you go to like one of the caverns where you can see like the woolly mammoths or the saber-toothed tigers they found in the tar pit. Like this is like a wet fart. This is rapidly extinguishing. This will not be here in only a couple years. I'm really excited. And you know, it's only going to be a little bit. We have to wait. It's only going to be like a year to 18 months. And then these events are going to be bumping. CPAC 2028, other events, who knows, AmFest again, who knows. As things develop, as the modern post-Trump political environment starts to take place and starts to formulate, and that's going to happen while Trump's still alive and while he's still the president, spoiler alert, in these next 2 years, it's going to be kind of like a hollowing out of what's left, and then it'll just disappear. Like when trust breaks, it falls out of the sky. And it's already started to fall out of the sky, but because it's in the air and it hasn't hit the ground yet, nobody knows about it. So you're riding this thing that's descending. And I saw this in 2022, and I talk about it all the time, when I saw the 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old women in the street twerking to Trump rap music, to Trump salsa music. And I was just like, this ain't winning. Like Trump's screwing us on COVID. He's shutting down the economy. Biden's going to win. It is what it is. We're looking at it already. And you can't tell these people that. We can't have a real conversation about demanding more from our leadership. We just wear the MAGA hat and twerk to Trump salsa music and Trump rap music in the street. I'm sensing a hell of a lot of the same energy. I bet if I was at CPAC, you might even see some of the same stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of amazing men and women that love each other and are married to each other and just really like Trump or whatever. But it's the most cringy outfit that you can put on as a couple now. Would be like these people that like, we're MAGA boat people. We're MAGA yacht people. Hey, you know what? A lot of us, we don't have yachts or boats anymore because, yeah, we can't afford to exist in this current economy. Yeah, you know, a lot of us would love to have a boat party with our kids, but, you know, we're having our sons and daughters sent off to fight in these foreign wars. It's just, this is a dead medium, right? Because if you're talking about America being great again, when America's actively being made worse, then people listen to it and you're like, well, what are you talking about? And that's where we find ourselves when we get back here in the second hour. I've got a really sad story to tell you guys. And I'm sorry to do this in the morning, but we've got to do it. Noella, I'm going to look up the proper pronunciation of her name. This beautiful young woman in Spain. She was brutally raped by migrants. She had PTSD. She paralyzed herself trying to off herself, trying to get away from the nightmares and the terrible memories. And she signed up for MAID, medical assistance in dying, also known as governmental murder. So we're going to be talking about that and the truth behind it and the horrors behind it and why we've all got to reject that as a society, as humans, on the show.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, $400 or $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife. It's badass. America First T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Supplements, Shilajit Gummy, Shilajit Capsules, Irish CMOS capsules, Warcry premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to be shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley Owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Best sound in the world, that InfoWars bumper music. I've been listening to it since I was a little boy, and I love it to this day. I always love getting to listen to it in the mornings, in the afternoons, in the evenings with you guys whenever you're listening to the show. Rex Jones, American Journal, Gray Area. Let's get my Gray Area up really quick because I do a show Thursday and Sunday. Me and Tim Tompkins, we've been hosting the American Journal as well. If you want to catch me live, I'm basically live every day now doing American Journal, but I'm usually live most nights, so check in with me on my Twitter profile. I want to go ahead and let y'all know, this is it. Final day ends tonight. Last chance to enter to win the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500, 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. Every $1 you spend, 100x entries to win. Bonus offer, you get a free limited edition InfoWars shirt. When you subscribe to any product, you get a free InfoWars mystery bundle with every order. That's mugs, that's decals, wristbands, and more while supplies last. We're also doing the Zeolite launch. Zeolite is an incredible dechelant, helps strip the heavy metals and toxins out of your body. Really phenomenal product. I told my dad about, wanted him to get into. 72% off, crazy deal with subscription, just $16.99 a month. Locked in for life as long as you stay subscribed. And the catch, only the first 1,000 people get the deal. So if you're interested in that, you have heavy metal exposure, something interesting like that you want to take a look at, the Zeolite launch for 72% off is taking place right now. And here's the deal. The giveaway, the free shirt, and the mystery bundle, it all ends tonight. The Zeolite offer is limited to the first 1,000 subs. And once those spots are gone, the price moves back to $24.99. Go now to TheAlexJonesStore.com and check out those phenomenal products. I mean, here's the deal. If you want a bag and you also want the supplement products, that America First bundle, over 50% off when you're a VIP member, it really is incredible. I'm looking at the bag right now, having to figure out when I'm going to steal it. Okay, so if you want to get it for a steal, for a good deal, you can go on thealexjonesstore.com right now and get that bundle, get supplements, get smelling salts, get apparel, and get the bundle all together in one. Okay, have to plug, got to stay on air, got that done. What I'm going to bring up to you next, we've only got about 2.5 minutes left. We're going to lead into the next segment with this and talk about it going further on in the show. They sentenced this beautiful Spanish girl with mental health issues because she had been abused and violated and thrown herself down and made herself paralyzed because of the abuse that she'd incurred. The Spanish government killed her. And her parents desperately fought this process. They did everything they could. They took it all the way to that country's Supreme Court, and they struck it down. They said, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. It's a beautiful, wonderful, liberal, loving, happy, fun, la, 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 human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, forced government euthanasia. Makes me absolutely... Ow, fuck! And it just pisses me off to think about the stuff that we do. Okay, as the Western societies, the Western civilization, it's a complete oxymoron. This girl is dead. This girl has been murdered by the state. And we talk about, oh, the Ayatollah, we have to get the nuclear weapon. They back the girl in the head if she doesn't wear the hijab. What about the people in Western countries that are being sentenced to decade-long sentences for speech? What about the people in Western countries like Canada, like Spain, that are being killed by their own government? Do you care about that at all? Do you have any humanity at all? Do you care about the people being murdered by totalitarian governments all around the world? What do? We do nothing. We sit around. J.D. Vance goes over to Europe and says, oh, well, you're not allowed to censor speech. That's really not good. We're going to look at you for doing that. We fund these people. We give them billions and billions and billions of dollars. Our boat should be off the coast of Spain. Not off the Persian Gulf. That's where our boat should be right now. Our troops should be in Canada saving the people that are being murdered by their own government. Let's roll this sick, disgusting, freakish medical assistance and dying commercial. after the break. We'll save it for the break. Sorry, I got passionate there. I got outraged. This is a genuine reaction. It makes my blood boil. I just hurt my hand. Just, I can't think about it. And these people, they want to act like they're the friends, like they're the happy people. Liberal, liberal, liberal. Happy, fun, la, 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 human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, forced government euthanasia. I'm getting pissed now. I'm getting upset. Thank you so much, American Journal. Be right back.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine, nobody else has it, it's next level, and ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at DallasTheStore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the info war, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasTheStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at DallasTheStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Sorry for getting a little perturbed. These are just, they're civil rights issues. It's like looking at slavery, right? It's like being an abolitionist and looking at slavery and knowing it's wrong and seeing the slave catchers and people laughing about it and thinking that it's friendly and nice and fun. This is a grave crime against humanity that's taking place in the West. I'm going to go ahead and throw to this video. This is them in Canada advertising the service to people.
Breaths are sacred. When I imagine my final days, I see bubbles. I see the ocean. I see music. Even now, as I seek help to end my life, there is still so much beauty. You just have to be brave enough to see it.
Even now, as I seek help to end my own life. And it's a laptop commercial. It's a commercial that you see when you go into Best Buy and you're looking for the new 4K flat screen or whatever that you're going to buy for the living room. No spirit, no actual substance. When I picture my dying days, I see bubbles. I see music. I see people laughing and holding hands. Well, those are all the demons gathering, excited that your soul's about to be delivered down into them to the pit of hell. So maybe the nice images that we get all the time, maybe the feelings that, oh, we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to all just slit our wrists in the bathtub and bleed out. Maybe you don't listen to that voice. Maybe that voice is even more dangerous than one that tells you that you're not enough, that you're wrong, that you've got to do better. Oh, we don't listen to that. Oh, no. Self-improvement, self-criticism, trying to become better, trying to become more godly, more perfect. No, we don't listen to that. Oh, the happy voice. It's all fine. Just off yourself. I'm not saying that to anyone in the audience. There's never a reason to do that, okay? We need you alive. We need you in the info war. We need you being a patriot. Whether you're in America or somewhere else, never do this. There's never a reason to kill yourself, okay? And like that's a very real conversation I have with people. If you're out there right now and you're struggling with stuff like this and you look at commercials like this, that should be the proof to you to never do it because someone's trying to sell you that. They want you gone. And if the propaganda wasn't necessary, then it wouldn't be around. But the propaganda is necessary to enforce the hallucination, to enforce the lie. This is somehow necessary or needed as an addition to the human condition. It is not. It is not. It is just like slavery. It's far worse because there's no breathing. There's no living. There's nothing. You just die. Just die. It's murder. Murder, plain and simple. But, the same populations that will support genocide, that will support abortion, that will support murder in all its varied forms, why wouldn't they just kill people when they become depressed? Why wouldn't they? In fact, we have all these asylums, not enough, but people that are insane, people that want to hurt themselves, people in rubber rooms and straitjackets, we should let them all out and give them knives and just put them in a big room with each other and say, hey, You over there, Fred, you think you're Vishnu and you got a 1,000-year blood debt with this guy. You think he's another Hindu god, and this guy thinks that he works for the angelic golem that runs the entire underground universe. So you two are going to fight each other. You both want to off each other. You both want to kill yourselves. Why don't we just have you kill each other? Why don't we let everyone out of the insane asylum in some sort of battle royale Fortnite scenario, and then we kill the winner anyway because he also wanted to die? You see how flat out ridiculous that is as an analogy. But I'm going to go ahead and read this to you because it's just going to blow your mind. It's just so sad. A 25-year-old rape victim was left paralyzed after a suicide attempt, and she was scheduled, she has died, to die by euthanasia, murder by the government, after court officials overruled her father's desperate last-ditch effort to stop it. So you build a system that's so alien, so foreign from human morality that, you know, a father can't even, like in the olden days, like sway the executioner's hand or the king's hand by making an impassioned plea. It's just the robotic state, the machine of the state that kills your sons and daughters, that does it over and over again. This is what Orwell talked about. This is the boot stomping on the human face forever. Noella Castillo of Barcelona has undergone the lethal procedure at an assisted living facility in Spain on Thursday, ending a years-long legal battle in the young woman's life. Castillo has been confined to a wheelchair since 2022 when she tried to die by suicide by jumping from a fifth-floor building after she was traumatized by a horrific gang rape by three men at a state-supervised center for the vulnerable youth, leading Britain's Conversation reported. She survived the jump but was left paralyzed from the waist down and suffers from chronic pain, leading her to seek assisted suicide, which has been legal in Spain since 2021. We never invaded this place. We never sent military aid to a country that wanted to stop this. Oh, no, you want to kill and murder Russians. You want to kill and murder Iranians. You want to kill and murder Palestinians. That's fine. We can never do anything about this. Since 2021, murder has been legal. Probably the same for Canada as well. I mean, I shouldn't even have to come up with words to explain to you why this is wrong. But I'll keep reading. Oh, man. This is so bad. I hate reading this. Castillo has been confined to a wheelchair since 2022 when she tried to die by suicide by jumping from a fifth-floor building after she was left traumatized by a horrific gang rape by three men at a state-supervised center for vulnerable youth. She survived the jump but was left paralyzed from the waist down and suffers from chronic pain, leading her to seek assisted suicide, which has been legal in Spain since 2021. I want to go now and stop suffering, period. None of my family is in favor of euthanasia. But what about all the pain I've suffered during all these years? Poor baby is mentally ill. Like, she needs help. She needs love. She needs to be taken care of. She needs to find Christ, ultimately. She doesn't need to die. I'm sorry. I know people will say, oh, she's in a chair and you have no idea how bad it was. It was so bad that she put herself into a chair because she tried to do it already and she just wants the government's help doing it. You know, it's a crime to hurt yourself. You're not allowed to do it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's brutal. I'm sorry that you have to stay alive, but we care about you. We love you. We want you here. We want every person here. Okay. And when you start cutting alongside the margins of society and you start saying, well, these people on the outside, they don't want to be here. They want to be gone. Like, they don't have a place in the world. Hey, they're homeless, you know? That homeless guy down the street, he's pretty depressed. You know, he lost his whole family 2 decades ago and he got a meth addiction, a crack addiction, a heroin addiction, a fentanyl addiction. Now he's on the street. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just sent two officers down there in black uniforms and put them in the car, took them to the police station and just shot them in the head? I mean, wouldn't that be better for everybody? You know, wouldn't he be happier? Because, you know, he's depressed. I'm describing the same thing that happened to this girl. Because the state took her after she said she wanted to hurt herself. That homeless person, imagine he tells the cops he wants to die. And instead of the cops calling services or trying to get him help or trying to do something, they just take out the gun and shoot him. Like, you used to call that suicide by cop. That's a whole established thing that people with mental health issues go through. They'll seek out an authority figure with a lethal capacity, and they'll get them to kill them. They can just do it legally now. So if it's wrong, then why have we legalized it? We'll just sit here in this for a second. I'll read more comments from the poor lady, the dear lady. I don't feel like doing anything. Not going out, not eating, sleeping is very difficult for me, and I have back and leg pain. It does sound like hell, but Jesus can help. I've told them how I want it to be. I want to die looking beautiful. I've always thought I want to die looking good. I'll wear my prettiest dress and put on makeup. It will be something simple, she said. Very heartbreaking. Now, you're beautiful every second you were alive. And now that you're dead, you're a corpse. And you're rotting in the grave. And you can never have a positive impact on anyone else's life ever again. And I'm not saying that to denigrate her. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that to all the people that applaud this and sign off on it and say it's a good thing. You've been a net negative in the world by doing this to this poor girl. And people that commit the crimes, people that commit the gang rapes, that commit the murders, that commit the acid attacks, that commit these offenses that make people want to kill themselves, those are the ones who should be publicly executed. That's why I'm pro-death penalty. Hell, I have it in my bio. I think if you commit a capital offense like that, you go after police, you go after little kids, you do something like that, sorry. You thought it was okay to pull the gun on the cop at the traffic stop and kill him and kill his buddy and have to have 12 police officers come after you and arrest you, and now you got two capital murder charges? You thought that was okay? We thought we were going to give you 40 years? No. We're going to give you 2 weeks, and then we're going to hang you. Oh, you thought it was okay to go to that trampoline park and try to hurt that kid? No. We're going to hurt you now. You're going to be off the planet. That's the attitude we need to have. Oh, you thought it was okay to hurt this girl in Spain, and you thought it was funny to make her do what you wanted to do. Well, you know what? It's going to be really funny when the electricity in the electric chair makes you do what we want you to do, makes you die quickly in a lot of pain as well. See, that's real accountability for people. That's real restitution to the victims. Restitution to the victims is making sure the criminals that are walking around that have committed these actions are gone. Okay, they are gone. But instead of that, the girl who was brutally gang raped is gone. And the criminals, hell, it's Europe. They'll probably get out in like 5-10 years and be like, oh, yeah, you know, that one time we hurt that girl. No, it was so bad she had to kill herself, man. Think about these people. Think about the people in government that sign off on that and see that as okay. Think about the people in government that protect the predators, that protect the murderers, that protect the violators and criminals. But sentence their own innocent citizens to die. And when she's dying, her parents are trying to reach out to her. The court's failed. The court can't get through. The government's not allowing the parents or their lawyers or even this girl's best friend to see the girl before she dies. They're keeping her in isolation, saying, oh, your organs are going to help so many young men and women. They're going to help so many old people. Keep some years of life. It's going to be such an honor, such an incredible thing. You're so viable. You're in such good shape. We're going to give everything to the donors. You're being a hero. And they're literally like a spider, like a fly licking its proboscis. They're just ready to devour the blood and the flesh and the corpse and the meat because she's a unit. She's an economic unit. She's too expensive to remain alive, and she's got a lot of potential when she's dead. So why don't we just kill her? And why don't we let the rapist out of jail? You know, maybe they can hurt somebody else, and that person won't kill themselves, and we'll get their organs too. Do you see how it works? It's the same attitude with the war. Okay. Oh, yeah. We got some Americans dead. We're probably going to have more Americans die. It is what it is. We're going to take Iran over. We're going to take over Gaza, and we're going to build Trump Gaza. We're going to build hotels. It's going to be incredible. Think about all the economic potential. And all you got to do is squeeze a few 100,000 heads. That's nothing. It's no problem. Hell, you get people signed up for it. Make good enough propaganda for it. You get people 100% on the program. My friends, and we're not on the program here. That's why we do the American Journal. That's why you tune into InfoWars to get this level of information, because we break these stories down at a very high level. We help you understand what everything's actually about. It's all a control grid. It's a system designed to break you into congruency with the system, and there you will remain because it is too scary to leave. Think about this. People aren't protesting this in the street right now because they don't care about it. Soon they'll be too scared to protest it. Soon you'll be scared to win a raffle and offer the carbon credits. You know, you gotta send little Timmy away to let the harvest the organs. That is where we are headed. That is where we are at. Basically, we pray for Noella Castillo. We pray for her family as well that tried to save her life. Let's not discount their valiant effort. We pray for them all, and we curse the government of Spain. We curse the government of Canada. We curse the U.S. government as well for allowing this to continue and go on. But getting into just like the plain immorality of everything, I want to go into clip four, out in the open admission of resource wars by Vance. This is what everything's always about. So we're going to start here. I'm going to call more clips out. Let's go to the clip.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Taking out a dictator in Venezuela. How does that help the average American?
Well, a few things, Jesse. First of all, what it means is we're going to be able to control the incredible natural resources of Venezuela, which is good for America in a few ways. Number one, it allows us to put leverage on our enemies. Number two, it makes sure that if Americans need high quality, low cost power, we're always going to have access to it. And then the third thing is it does demonstrate American military excellence, which makes people afraid to cross us in the future. Some of the best ways that you maintain the peace is to it clear that you care.
All right, that's enough of that. So it's about military excellence, proving we have the best military, and taking other people's resources. Well, did the American people sign up to fight more resource wars, or did they sign up for no new wars? And we literally come out, we admit it's a conflict, we admit it's a war. This is just him talking about Venezuela. I mean, imagine the things that they'll come out and just say openly in just a few months about Iran if they're successful with this immediate military operation they're trying to undergo. Let's go to clip number five, because Ben Shapiro tells us, hey, America's great strength in a war is actually how long we can last. You know, all those sons and daughters, all those innocent American souls you care about, all those brave men and women in uniform. Yeah, we're going to last years and years and years. Why worry about it? That's clip number five.
And during Vietnam, the Viet Cong counted on the idea that Americans would get tired, that Americans would get bored. And after a while, they were right. Americans did get tired. After a while, they were right. Americans did want out. We should know that there were 50,000 American dead by that point. In Iraq and Afghanistan, too, our enemies thought, okay, they can just outlast the Americans. But here is the point. To outlast Americans, typically, requires not months, not weeks, years.
Okay, so these are all the people that initially sold you the idea of it being a limited strike, 1973 War Powers Act. Oh, he's allowed to do it. It's under 60 days. You're a panicking. You're not MAGA. Trump decides what MAGA is. MAGA is now me. MAGA is now Lindsey, Levin, Ben Shapiro, these types. And then you got this guy in his tiny hat talking to you about how America's great strength is that we can last for years and years and years. And he admits, well, in Vietnam, we did get tired and we lost 50,000 troops. And, you know, it is what it is, but this will go better. Basically, I'm paraphrasing that. That's essentially what he's implying to his audience. Did y'all sign up for another Vietnam? I know I didn't. I'm going to Mexico. How about that? Draft dodging, totally admitting it right now. If they do this stupid stuff for this war for Israel, I'm going to Mexico or Canada. I'm getting the baddest biddies, and I'm going to go live in a big house with them. Okay? So I think that's a lot more base than going and fighting another forever war for Zog or for Israel, because Ben Shapiro is not my general. Ben Shapiro is not my admiral. He's not my drill sergeant. He's not my president. He's not my commander-in-chief. He's not my anything. Okay, but him and Levin and Graham and Cruz, I mean, Ted Cruz openly, he's like, yeah, you know, I was the one that convinced Trump he needed to do those initial strikes. So I was like, we're going to kill the Ayatollah. And these people, no matter how wrong they are, no matter how many times their examples prove them as wrong, prove them as liars, prove them as scum, as filth, as trash, as garbage, no matter how many times it happens, they're just going to continue walking down that road. He doesn't even realize it's an unpopular position to tell Americans to basically expect another Vietnam or a conflict that's going to last years. He doesn't even realize it, because to his audience and his fan base, people over in Tel Aviv and rich Zionists over here in America and evangelical Christians, that sounds great to them. Hell yeah. But to the vast majority of us, it sounds like filthy garbage. Let's roll one more little propaganda piece. This is J.D. Vance talking about nuclear suicide vests. Really? What is James Bond going to pop out next with the, you know, the rocket launcher or the jetpack? Let's go ahead and play clip number seven.
When I say options, I think it's important the American people know options for what? And it's options to ensure that Iran never has a nuclear weapon. You talk about people who walk into a crowded supermarket and have a vest on, and they blow up the vest and a couple of people get killed, and that's a terrible tragedy. What happens when what's on the vest
It's not something that can kill a couple of people, but can kill many, many tens of thousands of people. That is the most important American national security objective that exists for any administration at any time, is you don't want the worst people in the world to have a nuclear weapon. That's why the president is doing this. That's why the president cares so much about this particular issue.
Okay, so it's about the nuclear weapon, also nuclear suicide vest, somehow James Bond movie, whatever. It's also about the ballistic missiles. They can't have any ballistic missiles that can reach Israel because, oh, Diego Garcia is so scary, so terrifying, now they can never have any missiles anymore. It's about regime change. Trump has said this. Rubio has said this. Lindsey has said this. Netanyahu has said this. They've all said it. It's about a ground invasion. There's all these different reasons for this war. There's all these different reasons for this war. What do they all have in common? They all screw you. They all screw the American people, because every reason this war is being fought doesn't benefit you either directly or indirectly. You could even say the Venezuela war might benefit you indirectly. Maybe we get cheaper diesel here, whatever. This has absolutely no material benefit to you, your loved ones, or your family, nothing at all. All it is a tax, just like the tariffs are a tax, okay? And everyone's like, well, I like the tariffs. I voted for the tariffs. He said he was going to do the tariffs. Okay. All right, he said he was going to do the tariffs when he was on track to get elected. That's an argument for why he still supports them. It is what it is, even though I don't support the tariffs. But all these things, you do realize we're footing the bill for them, right? Oh, what do? They slash the corporate tax rate. They slash another $800 billion. Guess what? They're going to spend another $1 trillion on wars. So where is the money for us? Where is the $5 billion a day for the American people? Where is the health care? Where is the infrastructure? Where is the taking care of homeless veterans? It's nowhere. All we see is more and more reckless spending in the expansion of these wars, because after all, you must not forget, I've seen the file. He killed himself. We cannot allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. We can't. There are ballistic missiles. Their space program, it could reach the United States. I'm Dip Bongino. Must not disobey Mossad. And the sparks start shooting out, and then the explosions begin, and then the right wing, fake right, woke right, the real woke right influencer will just fall over and keel over and die in the chair. And that's what we're seeing more and more of. And the reason why we go over all these things, talk about the techno-feudalism, we talk about the authoritarian government, we talk about the wars, we talk about the environmental toxins, talk about all the death. The reason why I talk about all this stuff is because it's the only thing to cover. It's the only thing to talk about. It's my dad's classic example. I remember as a kid so many times people would ask him, you know, how's the football game? And my dad would just start shaking. He'd lose his mind. He'd go, oh, how's the football game? You know the vaccine schedule? You know about that? You know about the, you know, 9/11 being fake? You know about that? You know about the poison in the food and water and in the air? You know about the chemtrails? And the person's brain just starts to shut down. And I'm sorry, I got a little bit of that in me today. I got a little bit of that spirit in me today, a little bit of that emotion in me today. Because how do you not talk about this stuff? How do you not talk about it? How do you not talk about the future digital control grid and how they're going to have AI streamers and AI robots programming your children, entertaining your children instead of human beings? How do I not tell you about the medical assistance in dying, the legalized murder that's going on in Spain? How do I not tell you about the ridiculous lies of the U.S. government that come out every day, day and night, declaring victory on the war, declaring that it's over, declaring that we've won? How do I not talk about it and come out against it? I kind of view that as my job, actually. You know, now that I'm a professional radio and TV news host, another thing to add to my resume. Of course, I was just a reporter before. But now that I am in the chair, I will talk about these things because I am a human. I am an explorer. I am a dreamer. I've got a big heart pumping red blood. It's got oxygen and air and power going through it fast, okay? So I sit here in this chair with you, asking you to reclaim your power, your civil ability as an American to affect change in the political process, to hear my words and to get educated and to attack these problems and demand solutions. We'll talk about solutions here in the next segment, ideas I have for banning these things, that digital bill of rights that I talked about earlier. And I just want to say thank you so much for being here with me today. I'm going to read you this offer one last time. The Zeolite launch is taking place right now. That's 72% off with subscription. Right now, get entered to win the Shelby GT500 Mustang, the 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. And keep in mind, for every new product you subscribe to, like that Zeolite at 70% off, 79% off, 72% off, whatever it is, just like that Zeolite, you can get a free t-shirt with it, a free limited edition t-shirt with it. And check out Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Check out the Power Plant bundle. Those are the ones that I came up with. You want the mad scientist concoction, the real creation, check out the Power Drive bundle. Thank you very much.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. That's where they put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your doc chamber's on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallisonstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallisonstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallisonstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theallisonstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
InfoWars.com. Tomorrow.
Joe's News Today. Crashing through the mines in the Central Texas Command Center. It's Rex Jones here on Gray Area. Welcome back to the show. We've got the great Alex Stein live from CPAC joining us eminently, hopefully a little bit before the start of the next hour, but it'll be here for like 30, 45 minutes. Going to go over what's been going on there, but I want to give you more intel, more high-level intel of stuff that I watch, stuff I research off and based off of. This guy, Larry Johnson, I'm about to present to you, high-level CIA analyst for many, many years, worked in various administrations. And he really lays it down and breaks down what's going on with the Iran situation right now. So I want to play you two different clips. Let's go ahead and go to that first one right now.
Let's talk about Iran's military strategy. So I did a tweet. Maybe we could put it. Let me send it to you, Lisa. We could put it quickly on the screen. And I'm just going to summarize it very briefly. So it's the strategy that Iran is applying right now in the war. And that's first striking the sensor blindness for the U.S., striking the radars and missile defense sensors.
Right.
Kind of America's eyes in the sky. And we know that there's some expensive radar, the ANFPS-132. It's an early warning radar. I think there's only like seven of them around. It's a billion-dollar radar. Though these are either damaged or destroyed. And we have other targets as well, including a radar for a THAAD system. There's one for the PAC, the CRAM defense system, the radar for that has been destroyed at one of the bases. So that's been their strategy so far, striking the eyes. Number two, operation logistics. So they strike staging hubs and support infrastructure that rather than just frontline forces. At Prince Sultan Air Base, Saudi strikes reportedly damaged 5 KC-135, the refueling tankers. So they kind of you don't need to put the tweet up. Lisa, by the way, it's no point. I'm summarizing it. So number one, the eyes. Number two, the logistics, those refueling tankers as an example. And number three is striking command and communication centers. We've seen that in a few bases, including the infrastructure at the 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain. And lastly, as a fourth strategy, kind of a fourth step, is the economic pressure by the not only the shutting down of the Strait of Hormuz, but striking the pipelines, the pipelines in Fujairah and also the oil depot in Oman, and I think the LNG infrastructure in Bahrain.
Yeah.
So that is Iran's strategy so far. So my question is twofold. How well is it working in your mind? And number two, what could be further steps on the escalation ladder, which I know we've discussed multiple times, but we've crossed all the steps we've talked about. What are further steps that Iran could take if the U.S. and Israel can escalate further? So if the U.S. strikes or Israel strikes their oil infrastructure again, they're striking their infrastructure in general, their bridges, their power plants, as they did in Lebanon in 2006. What could Iran do in response to that, beyond what they're doing now?
You recall over the weekend they struck Karg Island. And I thought, oh, man, this is going to spin it off and this would be escalatory. Well, even Trump admitted, yeah, we didn't hit the oil. So the very reason ostensibly from a strategic standpoint to bomb the place would be to destroy the oil production facilities. But why didn't Trump do that? For a very simple reason. Iran's made it very clear. If you destroy our oil, we're going to destroy all of the oil supply in the Persian Gulf. They'll turn off Aramco. They'll do the same in Kuwait, Bahrain, and Qatar. And frankly,
but is that oil really, other than Saudi, all that oil cannot be exported because the strait is closed.
It's closed, but
Saudi has alternatives.
But you would still be able to turn the flow back on.
Long-term damage, you mean?
Yeah, so this would extend very long-term damage. And it's not just the oil. It's the liquid natural gas that came out of primarily Qatar, which was, again, about 25% of the world supply. And then out of the other oil export, the urea, the nitrogen used for the production of fertilizer. That's more than a third of the world's supply.
All right, pause it.
And that's.
All right. So we're talking about a third of the world's fertilizer plus all the other various factors that he just laid out there. We're meddling with systems that we barely even understand. The thing is, when these things get built, it's a lot easier to destroy something than it is to create something. a whole reanalysis, reexamining of the factors that brought the energy market into place as it currently exists is going to take place. And Russia and China are going to have a seat at that table. Everything we're doing now, I see people constantly defend it online like they have an understanding of what the plan is. And in fact, they'll come at you and they'll say, well, you're not the president. You don't get the president's daily briefing, so you don't know. And it's like, well, actually, did you know the president and all the people in the daily briefing and whatever, they thought they wouldn't close the Strait of Hormuz? President said that numerous times. And even if it's a lie, that's what's presented to the public about what the president knows. So don't tell me that we can't find independent analysts like Larry Johnson that explain it much better than our president does, who declares victory every single day. So we're talking about real facts here. Go back to Larry Johnson.
Percent of the world supply, and then out of the other oil export, the urea, the nitrogen used for the production of fertilizer, that's more than a third of the world supply, and that shortage is coming at the very time that now the Western, the Northern Hemisphere is entering into the planting season, and needs that fertilizer in order to get food growth. So you're now looking at losses that are going to extend out for 8-9 months. You know, the food shortage won't hit until, seriously, until, say, October, November. So I think Iran is even a bit surprised at how effective its strategy has been, because they basically forced Israel can no longer defend against the ballistic missile. You know, maybe they can shoot down one or two, but they can't shoot down 40. And that's, and we've seen also.
And keep in mind, they use a $10,000 drone that we have to shoot either a $4 million munition or a $20 million munition at, and multiple of them in order to achieve success. All right, and that applies to drones and also the low-grade, cheaper ballistic missiles that people like Hezbollah have, right? And that still requires millions of dollars and multiple attempts to shoot down. And now what we're seeing in a lot of the footage that's breaking from these places and a lot of the on-the-ground reporting that's illegal to do, we're still getting some of it. I mean, Israel's just on fire. And our bases are just on fire as well. Several of them have been rendered inoperable. They have to put the American forces in the Arab Holiday Inn, basically. We'll go back to the clip.
So Iran now shifts its focus away from Tel Aviv and Haifa down to Nevatim, to the Negev Desert, where they're going after air bases, military sites, intelligence sites, and possibly Dimona, the nuclear site. I think they'll shy away from that for now, as long as there are no more attacks on Iranian nuclear facilities.
Okay, I think this is predating the time before they actually attacked that area. I think that they've actually attacked that area now as well, as things have continued to escalate. The key thing to keep in mind is what he mentioned about the Qatari gas field, because this is so important. Iran's got a side of it. Qatar has a side of it. They're sharing it, right? And a ton of the world's LNG comes out of that field. Guess what happens? Oh, the Israelis, quote unquote, and Trump sent out the tweet saying, Israel out of anger, I believe that's what he said, out of anger has acted and done this without our approval. But of course we know about everything. So we, the empire, we hit their side of that field. The Iranians hit the Qatari side of that field. They have 17 trains. They destroyed 2 out of 17 of the trains. Those train tracks and trains won't be replaced for years. They publicly state this. So we've already incurred permanent damage to that infrastructure, and the conflict is just beginning. We'll get into this one other Larry Johnson clip. I'm going to continue to react to it until the end of the segment, just focusing on this here. And I talked about this with Tim last night on the gray area. We had an agreement on this. We've had disagreements about the war, but we're coming to this conclusion. Trump would only push the 10-day peace thing of like, we'll not attack you, whatever, until Easter, if he was going to imminently invade, which we believe he is, and he will only imminently invade and put ground troops on the ground after hitting or at the same time as hitting their electrical grid, as hitting their power infrastructure. They're going to do a Gaza on Iran. They're going to try to do it. That's what Netanyahu's whole mission has been for Trump, and he's gotten him almost there to the brink. I mean, not even there. We're falling down with Netanyahu. We bombed an elementary school. I'm going to say it every single show, because Americans, you need to know what you paid for, okay? We got to stand up and rise up peacefully, nonviolently, politically against it. We paid to kill 180 little kids and their school teachers, okay? You know what a Holocaust is? Well, you can't talk about the Holocaust. 6 million, you can't talk about it. Oh, I'll talk about it. Holocaust as a word means death by fire, okay? Mass death by fire. 180 little girls and their school teachers killed in a double tap attack by U.S. Tomahawk munitions that we lied and said were Iran's. That's death by fire. That's mass death by fire. That's a Holocaust, okay? So I don't want you to be a Holocaust denier out there in the audience. I don't want you to deny that. I want you to realize that we did that. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and maybe you're pro-Iran war, maybe you're anti-everything I'm saying right now, think about having to logically defend the position of in the initial strikes and the initial war of aggression that we started. They didn't start it. We started it with Israel. We killed 180 little kids and their teachers in a school. But that's liberal and loving. We'll turn off the power next. We will make sure that millions of people are put in a life or death situation in Iran immediately, because it's about defeating the religious Nazis. It's about defeating the bad guys. It's about being a real MIGA. All right. I'm a real MIGA. All right. I love Israel. I support all the endless wars. I love the death. I love the murder. I donate to Lindsey Graham every day. Every day I give Lindsey Graham some money. Nobody in politics saying that. No voters saying that. Nobody at home is excited for that message. So they're selling you crap in buckets and telling you that it's liquid gold. We all reject that outright. Ultimately, let's play a little bit of this Larry Johnson clip, the second one going forward.
On the 12th of March, we started a massive airlift from U.S. Special Operations military bases around the United States from 12 March until the 23rd. So over those 11 days, there were 35 C-17 flights going from the United States, two bases in Jordan and one base in Israel. Where were they flying from? Well, they went to Hunter Army Air Base in Georgia. That's home to an element of Task Force 160, the Night Stalkers. And it's also home to the 75th Ranger Regiment, 1st Battalion. Those flights, several flights from there. When you realize a C-17 can hold only 104 soldiers at combat, kitted out for combat, so if you got four flights, maybe two of those taking 200 of those soldiers, at least a company element or a couple of companies. They go to the Joint Base Lewis-McChord. Again, a major base for the 75th Rangers, that's the 2nd Battalion of the 75th, I believe. Going to Fort Bragg, home Delta Force, 82nd Airborne. Flying out of Oceana Air Station. Gee, who's there? Damn Neck, Virginia, SEAL Team 6, and you've got all the East Coast SEAL teams, the SEAL Teams 2, 4, 8, 10. Another flight's Fort Campbell, Kentucky. That is the headquarters for the Special Operations Air Regiments, also known as the Night Stalkers Task Force 160. In my experience, when you see this kind of deployment, it can only be one of two things. It's an exercise or it's an actual mission.
Pause it.
I don't see this as an exercise.
Okay, he just said it right there. I don't see it as an exercise. Nobody sees it as an exercise. And here's the thing. I was talking to Tim about this, and Tim made the excellent point just thinking about it just from a normal person's perspective. Why would all the troop movements be public? Why would we know all these things? Why is this all out there in the public eye being talked about? I mean, the Iranians, they have the same information as us because they're watching our media. They hear about all this as well. The only explanation that I can think of is that the whole Karg Island thing is a giant misdirect. It's a redirection play, and that our forces are going to be deployed in, dropped in at least somewhere else as well as the same time as there. I think that's coming. Also, they say it's like 5,000-10,000 troops. They say they want to deploy another additional 10,000 troops. I'm sure an additional 10,000 troops have already been deployed and we don't even know about it. I think we're on the cusp of a massive ground invasion, not as big as the one in Iraq, of course. I mean, how could it be as big? But I think we're going to scale up and try to get to that point. And that's why everything we've talked about, me and Tim together on the potential of a draft and everyone saying that's ridiculous. Well, we were in spaces talking to the same people about that a couple of weeks ago and they were laughing at us talking about a ground invasion. So We want to be wrong. We want to be proven to be incorrect. We want there to be peace. We don't want this military action to take place. We want there to be actual negotiations. You know, Trump's out there saying, they gave me a big, beautiful gift. Wouldn't that be nice if it was actually true? Wouldn't it be nice if this was actually over? It's not going to be over. This is no exercise. This is a combat deployment. We're going to play more of the clip.
The fact that it looks like they're bringing in both SEAL Team 6 and Delta Force, and by themselves, those are just, you know, they're not an assault force. They're good at rescuing hostages, that kind of thing. But, you know, somehow they're getting activated, but they're being accompanied by the 75th Rangers. And I recall in all the exercises that I scripted, you know, when they involved either Delta or SEAL Team 6, you always involved, the Rangers. You know, at minimum, they go in and seize an airfield, you know, and accompany that. And then you got the 82nd. So it looks to me like what's happening, that 5-day, so that started on March 12th. March 13 was when Trump activated the 31st MEU, the Marine Expeditionary Unit. They started setting sail. When do they arrive in theater? Friday or Saturday.
Today.
See, that's right at the end of that 5-day period.
Today.
The 11th MEU is about a week behind. But what one scenario I could see as possible, and because they're bringing in multiple elements of the Special Operations Air Regiment. It's not just one unit. So that tells me they're going to have two vectors of attack at a minimum. And the likely targets would be Karg Island up in the northeast corner of the Persian Gulf and the Keshem Island, which is right there at the bend of the Strait of Hormuz. This is bad. And then
yes.
I got a note from a friend of mine who was he was in contact with somebody with Delta Force. You know, one of his friends, and he said, this friend told him, he says, look, I heard from two different friends in the SOF community, and that's Special Operations Forces, that a bunch of tier one guys shipped out Thursday night for a major operation, probably an island, to take place by this weekend, and that a lot of people were concerned the op had not been thoroughly thought through and that they'd be badly overexposed. One guy said no effort was made at a blocking force. And he said, I hope they send a priest along who can lacerate us, which is not the kind of talk you usually hear from those types.
Pause it.
So
this is Larry Johnson making the claim, decades-long CIA analyst, has sources everywhere, worked for multiple administrations, other people, Lawrence Wilkerson, I've heard him say similar things as well about people that are potentially going to be involved in these operations. When you hear these people say these things and have these doubts, this is not normal behavior for an operator, for a tier one personnel, whether that's SEALs, whether that's Delta Force, whether that's Rangers or whatever. I'm not a military guy, so I don't know. That's not tier one, tier two operator. Boy, you never went through SOC. I know. I'm a civilian, whatever. But, hey, I'm fun. I'm your reporter. Don't you like me? At the end of the day, when you have these people having these conversations about, body bag, better send a priest along with us, they're going to do the job because they're soldiers, because they're military professionals, because it's what they do. All right. They are a unit, and we're not criticizing that unit. It's job, you know, like a nice job is to cut. All right. When a knife cuts somebody, we're not blaming the knife. We're blaming the person wielding the knife. And we played that John Doyle clip earlier on in the week played the Adam Sosnick clip earlier in the week where he's going to Dave Smith. You don't support the men and women in uniform. You call the U.S. military the biggest terrorist organization in the world, the biggest funder of terrorism, which, of course, it openly is. We only need to look at Syria as an example. We fund the head choppers, help them take over the country, comes and meets our president, shakes his hand. He's killed, responsible for the killing of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, being a leader in Al-Qaeda. At the end of the day, but oh, we just excuse that. These are the people that are going to die in this mission. And then the people in the fake conservative media, the people in the real woke right, they're going to come out and tell you their sacrifice is heroic. That's why we need Johnny and Jill down the street to go die too. Keep in mind, both men and women have already died in this war. This is not a gender issue. This applies to everybody, black, white, Hispanic, have all already died in the war. All the goyim have already died in the war. Keep in mind who doesn't die. Isn't that interesting? We're going to go back to the clip.
You know, the word circling in the soft community. And, you know, I think Trump was playing this to, you know, say be upbeat, 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 you know, manipulate the stock market. When the stock market closes, you know, 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon, after that point, Trump will make an announcement. Oh, you know, the negotiations are off. The Iranians have rejected it. They're being intransigent. So we're now going to show them.
Thank you.
Giving further support to that is Trump was supposed to attend a fundraiser, charity fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago Friday night. He was going to be the special guest. He's canceled.
Okay, the crew just gave me breaking news. What Larry was getting into there, the final point is that Trump's canceled a bunch of his meetings and appointments, probably in preparation for the conflict, which would make sense. We're talking about an imminent invasion. Like he said, the first troops now are arriving today. Friday conflict is probably going to take place over this weekend, but we've got breaking news from Reuters. Iran-linked hackers claim breach of FBI director's personal email. DOJ official confirms break-in. Iranian-linked hackers have publicly claimed the breach of FBI director. Oh, no! Not Cash Patel. Cash Patel's personal inbox publishing photographs of the director and his purported resume to the internet on the website. The hacker group Handala Hack Team said Patel will now find his name among the list of successfully hacked victims. The Reuters Iran briefing newsletter, blah, blah, blah. Reuters was not able to immediately authenticate the emails, but a sample of the material uploaded by hackers and reviewed by Reuters appears to show a mix of personal and work correspondence dating between 2010 and 2019. A Justice Department official confirmed to Reuters that Patel's emails were compromised, but did not go into detail. The FBI did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The hackers did not immediately respond to messages. Uh-oh. All right, so it is an info war, huh? Isn't that interesting how the eighth front that Netanyahu talks about and loves so much, it's a two-way street, you know, and the Iranians are fighting the American-Israeli empire, the American-Israeli empire is fighting the Iranians, and what are their weapons of war? Their weapons are information, technology, communications, and this is what we've talked about tomorrow's news today, literally for 32 years on the net. Look at that. You know, hey, who doesn't enjoy a nice cigar? Nothing wrong with that. You know, Cash Patel, even though he's a grifter and even though he's scum for being in the administration, he does seem to have the most fun with it. Okay, and there has to be something said for that because Bongino is walking around like a stroke victim that's been demonically possessed. Caroline Leavitt, whatever her name is, takes off the cross. Scott Bessent running around the White House beating people up that Trump's go take care of it. Elon was rude to me. Go take care of it. But at least Cash Patel is with the Olympic team. He's getting the photos of him smoking cigars leaked, and he's got the custom Nike shoes. So, okay. All right. You can't hate the player. Keep this in mind. This is a very true saying. You got to hate the game. Cash Patel, a victim of hacking attack. And then we've got this. Get into it a little bit after Stein. IDF could collapse. Military chief issues stark warning to cabinet. Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir said the growing demands on military operating across multiple active fronts are placing an incredible burden on the reservists. Keep in mind, he says, I'm raising 10 red flags here. They're trying to call up an additional 425,000 IDF reservists. And if you think about the population in Israel, which is like 9 to 11 million, that's basically a lot, if not like all of the young people. So they're being told they have to fight this incredibly unpopular war. A lot of them like it. A lot of them want to be involved. But a lot of them also realize this is going to lead to their state's destruction. So I think we got to be positive. I think that we got to work with people when we can work with them. And anyone willing to, you know, anyone willing to help break the evil empire, you know, we'll take that deal in my book. But IDF could collapse at this pace. The IDF will not be prepared for its routine missions like mowing the grass, like killing the Palestinians in the near future, Zamir said. Reservists will not hold. Military officials say the reserve system is showing signs of strain, oh, you think, and emphasize the need for additional personnel as operational demands continue to grow. Okay, we're going to cover that more as it develops in the second half of the third hour coming up. I'm about to be joined by the great Alex Stein, who is, of course, at CPAC. We're going to find out what's going on there. Is it actually dead? Is it popping? Is it alive? Is it mega-pilled? Are they real migas rolling around in the street at CPAC? We're going to get into it.
You are a pagan rebranded.
Let me do this. The folks at Bigley, about 7-8 months ago, came out with this top-of-the-line Faraday cage backpack with all these special pockets, super high quality. I'd previously bought a bag for myself personally like this, similar brand, $400 or $500. The problem was they only got 500 of these. Well, guess what? They got a couple thousand of them finally in. It took 7-8 months. It's a $600 value, just the bag, for $249. But guess what comes in it? America First Faraday bag, America First tactical trench knife. It's badass. America First t-shirt, MK Ultra atomic defense supplements, Shilajit gummy, Shilajit capsules, Irish CMOS capsules, Warcry premium product, and more. And VIP members get it for $199. Also, as you can now read in the newspapers, the Texas receiver is saying he's not going to pay the rent or the bills. So you guys, when are we going to be shut down? Tomorrow? 2 weeks from now? I'm going to just wait till the lights turn off, okay? You'll probably see InfoWars go down the site. You see streaming shut down. Once we can't do it, we have the All Shows Network built at Bigley Owns, and I'm going to go over and do it there. But I'm going to ride this horse till it dies. I'm going to ride this race car till the engine blows or the wheels come off. Or I crash into the embankment. I ain't giving up. I'm riding this horse till I win or I lose. And then the media's like, oh, he's finally going to lose. Oh, yeah, all right. I am the InfoWar. Our listeners are the InfoWar. And we got a whole line. Here's the first one of a limited edition Veterans of the InfoWar t-shirts. Look at this. This is badass. And it's the troops on Iwo Jima raising the American flag with the InfoWars patch where the stars are. InfoWars lives forever. It is an amazing limited edition shirt. Look at that bad boy. And it funds this operation, but also the Alex Jones Network to keep us on the air. We need funds. We want to get more reporters back and expand, but we need your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Truly wonderful Primetime 99, the pimp on the blimp, the one and only Alex Stein. But I want to talk about Alex a little bit before we get him on the air. We're getting him queued up here. He's joining the stream. We're communicating in cyberspace, screaming into the void together. But before I do that, you know, Alex is one of the people that welcomed me back into media. I took a break from doing this for about 4 years, okay? I stepped away from InfoWars around 2020. I was just done with it. But coming back in, Alex Stein was one of the people that wanted to have me on his show. I've really grown to have a rapport with him. I really like the guy. I hope to make supplements with him in the future. And he's one of these people that's always going to have a space in the media ecosystem. And I've been ragging on a lot of these people, the John Doyle, the Mark Levin, the Ben Shapiro, the Lindsey Graham. You see me play the clips over and over again. I play the clips over and over again because they're a dying breed. And one day, people like me, people like Alex Stein, people that are based, people like Dave Smith, will be watching these clips 5, 10, 15, 20 years in the future. And we're just going to be having a ball, having a laugh. Of course, the substance material is terrible and it's awful what these people have done, but they're going to be proven so wrong just off the merits of what they've chosen to stand for and off their hypocrisy that I don't understand why you do it, but hey, you know, at least you give us something to talk about forever. And this is why I respect Alex Stein. He is a free speech absolutist. He's somebody that stands on his opinions and principles. He's somebody that doesn't let things slide. Like if he's got to compromise, if he's got to, you know, take a position because it's a little bit uncomfortable and not take the other position, he's going to take the most uncomfortable position he can because he has the right to do so. That's something I've always supported. Maybe we could get a couple clips of him at the city council events because he likes to go do skits at the city council events. He likes to exercise his freedom of speech, his First Amendment. He'll go and pretend to be a black man, an Indian man. He'll go off. He'll crash out. We love it. But he's one of these guys where he was working at the Blaze. Now he's independent, but he was working at the Blaze for years. And the Blaze, even though I don't like Glenn Beck, the Blaze is an institution in conservative media, conservative new media, I guess you could call it, even if it is corporate. Right? So I viewed it kind of as like a kindred spirit type of thing, right? Like, I'm a network guy. I'm an InfoWars network guy. He was a guy for the Blaze, and I was very pleasantly surprised to discover that we were both, like, really independent-minded and that we shared that value. And I know he's got a ton of really cool projects coming up, something I'm really excited about. We don't have anything to toss to for it, but it's true. He's doing a boomer debate. Okay, he did a boomer debate with Owen and with Harrison, with Owen Schroyer and Harrison Smith, him, Owen, and Harrison versus three boomers. I think this actually happened at CPAC. Don't quote me on that. But it's stuff like that to where, like, you're always going to have a place in the media because people are always going to want to see that stuff. I always want to see that stuff. I love that Jubilee format, and it made me think about it, too. I have to say, and if we could throw this up here as well, it's the pinned thing on my Twitter. I have to say, I think my boomer man on the street confrontation inspired this Navy a little bit because they're like, well, this is a good format. It got pretty decent hits there, but it really is a phenomenal format just to talk to the normal everyday average person because you're not really going to get a lie out of them. With a politician, you'll get a lie, you'll get a manicured answer, you'll get some sort of BS, but a person on the street or a person that's going to one of those Jubilee things and wants to speak their mind as part of their opinion, they're going to let you know how they actually feel. And then you as Americans, instead of seeing somebody on the squawk box, on the goy tube, on the TV tell you about how the American people feel, you actually get to see it at a ground level. And it's also so important to where, like, right now, I'm swimming around my big aquarium here. It's good to be the man on the street and to have that one-to-one equal connection with somebody else to where you've got to debate them and their ideas and their principles. And it's not someone where it's their job to do that, where they're hyper-obsessed with it. It's just a person and what they believe in. And I think Alex Stein has always been good at capturing that. I've always been good at capturing that. My father's always been good at capturing that. And that's a real skill. That's real media art for him. Yeah, look at that. That's Alex Stein, Harrison Smith, Owen Schroyer. They're doing a boomer confrontation debate, three-on-three battle royale. Very cool. We're going to talk to Alex Stein about that. We're going to talk to Alex Stein about CPAC and a lot more coming up. American Journal, don't we love it? I've almost killed the week. We're almost out of time here. Catch me now on these last two segments of the American Journal. We're going to have the great Alex Stein on. I'm going to talk more about Cash Patel, who is a grifter, by the way. I meant to say that before. Cash Patel, who is a grifter, got his entire email leaked. We'll talk about that soon. Coming up.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there. Ah! Yeah!
Watching The American Journal with Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, the great Alex Stein is joining us now. I want to explain this. Alex Stein is on a network. He's on Real America's Voice. I was actually on his first show, so it's kind of a hybrid model. We're independent. We're doing stuff in the streets, but we're also network people. It's kind of the same for you and me, Gray Area, American Journal, you now Real America's Voice, and, of course, the Alex Stein on the ground street reporting. How are you doing, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Rex, it's always a pleasure to join you. And, you know, it's funny. You did inspire the boomer debate, but – you know, you teased the debate that I did with Harrison and Owen, and it was for Brandon Strock's Walkaway, foundation. But what was unique is with the boomers, we actually agreed on 100% of the domestic policies. The only thing that we didn't agree on was their foreign policy when it comes to Israel and this war in Iran. So, you know, these boomers, I guess one thing that I learned is they're really not that different when it comes to any sort of American policies. They want immigrants gone. They want affordability to be better. You know, they are happy that they got to buy their house a lot cheaper, but they understand that it's changed. So it was just crazy how much these people care more about foreign policy than domestic policy issues that we all agree upon.
Sure. And you'd think the domestic policy stuff is a lot easier to do because we control our country, right? But we got to spend, you know, 100x the money for like 1% the return overseas. Where does it come from? Because I saw that brief montage, like that Irish guy, whatever, he's like running around asking people questions. And he asked Alex Stone. And Alex Stone is like, well, yeah, I really don't like this war. And it's really making me, you know, like question how I feel about Trump. And then he talks to the boomer people and like, we need to fight, bless Israel, bless, curse Israel, be cursed. Are you seeing a lot of that on the ground at CPAC?
I am, but I'm so mad I didn't see Donnie Sullivan. I hope he's there today, but I know he's probably gone because I want to go and confront that guy. He is a little twerp for CNN. But honestly, I was talking to German media and they interviewed me specifically because they know that I'm anti-war. And I asked them, because that's basically all they were, you know, cared about when they were covering CPAC. And they actually, I go, you know, I think more young people are against it. And they actually said they talked to a lot of young people that were for it. So
yeah,
even though we get the impression that it's just boomers, it's a lot of people that are, I guess, too afraid to go against anything Daddy Trump says. Yes. And I love Trump, but they're going to go with whatever Trump says. They don't want to, you know, think for themselves.
Well, I played the John Doyle clip on the last show I did, and he's saying, well, all the people leaving now are leaving based off vibes. They sense a resurgence of the left, and they're getting off the Trump train because they're not really loyal to Trump and what he represents. They're loyal to the vibes, and it's like, well, why is there a Democratic resurgence? Why is there a left-wing resurgence? When we thought we had a mandate from heaven to lead after 2024, which he did have based on the great policies that he ran on, right?
Exactly right. And then, you know, Doyle is, he's a, you know, kind of a always Trumper. He, you know, Trump can do no wrong. But one thing that I think is scary is I'm sure you're seeing the viral clip of Ben Shapiro saying, well, you know, in Panama, it was 47 days, blah, blah, blah. This war was 180 days. Now, yes, the Israel firsters, they want this war to never end because, yes, Benjamin Netanyahu, if this war ends, then they can go prosecute him for his crimes against humanity. So this is a calculated play by the Israel firsters to make sure that America is attacking Iran for as long as possible. And what I thought was really weird is when Trump gave the ultimatum and then, you know, backed off the ultimatum, it was the Israel firsters that were most mad, when in reality, it's their infrastructure that's going to get attacked in retaliation. So yes, these people are sick. They want this to happen. They want there to be as much chaos in the Middle East so that we have to spend, you know, all of our blood and treasure defending a country that really, I don't think, cares about us. They just care about themselves.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And that's the thing. It's like, it's in your own self-interest to want your own state to be preserved, right? And neither of these places, Iran's not going away, Israel's not going away. It's ultimately the corrupt interests that need this war to happen so they can perpetuate their power. You touch on that with Netanyahu. You'd think this would be so basic for people to understand that, hey, there's a criminal syndicate. They're running this country. They're extending their power by committing these genocides, committing these wars, and doing the green flag operation on October 7th. I mean, I interviewed an Israeli citizen, and he talked about how ridiculous of a concept it is that the helicopter base, which is 20 minutes away, they weren't there for 8 hours, right? So you look at it from the people's perspective, the people of Israel, it's in their own interest to not accept this government anymore and to demand a change.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I have friends that are Orthodox Jews. They don't like this war. They don't like that they're being forced to be conscripted and get drafted into a war that they don't want to fight. So it's a serious situation that's going on in the Middle East. And like I just said, they want never-ending war. And Americans voted for Donald Trump so we wouldn't start any new wars.
Yes.
And now this is a quagmire because these Persian people, they've been there thousands of years. And everybody that wants to be like, oh, well, they just have sex with goats. These aren't just people that have sex with goats. These are smart people, sophisticated people that are willing to die for their cause and cause as much global disruption in the process. So it's just, we're fighting. If we lost to the Taliban that only had 40,000 people, and now we're fighting Iran that has 900,000 people in their military, this is going to be a very bad situation. And I think Trump wants to, you know, he wants to find the off-ramp, but yes, Netanyahu won't let him.
Right.
And that's the problem that we're facing. There's not a good off-ramp because when we started this war, the Strait of Hormuz was open. Now it's closed. So now we're fighting a war to open up something that was open before we started the war. It just doesn't make sense. It's absolutely insane.
And it's always our skin in the game, right? Keep in mind, this is the only war the IDF has ever fought alongside us with. It's always our American ground troops and other allied troops as well that have to suffer and die. And we look at the evidence here. We look at Trump canceling his CPAC appointment. We look at all the troop movements, saw the special forces being deployed, the 82nd Airborne, the 101st, all of it going on. The first troops now arriving in theater today, Friday, with more arriving over the weekend. Trump puts out this statement, oh, we're going to do the 10-day pause. We're not going to target energy infrastructure. We're going to wait a little while. What I see happening is an imminent attack where they're going to hit the energy infrastructure and deploy the troops at the same time. And like, how do the people on the ground at CPAC, when you're like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't 24 to 48 hours. Maybe we do have to be there a little bit longer. Maybe we are going to have ground troops. Maybe we're not. How are those same people? Do you think they're going to have a new excuse preloaded and formulated for when those troops die? Or do you think they're just going to not talk about it?
We're just going to go with whatever Trump says in his latest press conference. But you know who the people that are struggling the most that I talked to specifically were the Australians. There's a big, you know, coalition of Australian CPAC people here. And they're all freaking out because they get all of their energy from Asia. And the Strait of Hormuz gets all of their energy to Asia. You know, China is the biggest, exporter from that area.
Right.
So in Australia, they're having an energy crisis. But see, I think the sinister part of this is I think they want to test Australia. They want to see how much people will actually follow this new energy crisis guidelines when it comes to not driving your car. They gave them, they want them to work from home. They literally said that the people of Australia should drive slower, not to waste gas.
Wow.
So this is like, you know, they do a beta test with Australia to see how, you know, human beings will respond to having energy shortages. Well,
We're doing the same thing here as well. Did you know that the EPA has commissioned a study where they've put thousands of people on basically UBI and carbon credits, and the study will come out, oh, when the Democrats about to win right at the end of 2027, that study's going to come out and it's going to be used to push policy. And I had Michael Yon on yesterday and we talked about this a little bit. I mean, just people don't understand how fragile everything is and how grateful we should be for everything that we have. And when the president comes along with a giant hammer and says, like, I'm going to break this super complicated 10,000-foot silicon chip into a million different pieces, and we're just going to put it back together later, which is basically my analogy for the world economy. But we don't have the ability, we don't have the remote, the magic wand to make decisions like this. And I feel like a lot of the people that I've seen defend the war, their main argument is that, quote unquote, it will all work out because the dear leader says so. And that's not how the world works, is it? Is it, Stein?
No. And then, you know, what's really also frustrating is that I love Donald Trump, but you've seen all of these insider trading where Donald Trump said he was going to do the ceasefire and somebody bet, you know, $580 million on energy shortages, you know, shorted the energy market. So if the Democrats get in power, which I think is a strong possibility because the midterms are going to be a bloodbath, people are going to go after Trump. And, you know, I know he gave the Biden administration a break by not going after them, but I don't think they're going to show him the same grace.
It's not reciprocated at all. And the thing is,
no.
for the past decade plus, the entire American politics chic, like the thing that the normie knows about, was Trump, Russia, Hunter Biden laptop, corruption indictments. That's the whole scheme of like a person knowing about the candidates being critical of them. They've heard of the Mueller thing. They've heard of Fusion GPS. They've heard of Hunter Biden's laptop, whatever. And then we were on the side in 2024 of exposing corruption and being anti-corruption, being anti-family deal. And then the Trump administration, which goes after Hunter Biden, goes after Joe Biden for the auto pen. I mean, it's kind of equivalent to the auto pen when the president who declares war illegally watches a 2-minute video montage of buildings blowing up and calls that a military briefing. So Americans are seeing this and they're seeing the instability, and we just wanted an end to hypocrisy. We just wanted a reasonable person that wasn't going to cut these deals, because when you're the president, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's obvious that they're not going to just show President Trump the same grace that Cashers Tell is showing the previous administration. And I have a good friend, John Gross, who just left the Department of Justice because he was trying to go after the whole entire, you know, scam of the January 6th committee. And they basically had to fire him, or they made his life a living hell, so he had to quit because they don't want to investigate their own. But that's not going to be the case when the next regime gets in power. So if Donald Trump can't pick the mayor of New York City, why does he think that he can go and influence a regime change in Iran, you know, thousands of miles away? It's just ridiculous. It's nonsensical.
But it's all total victory. It's all total victory happening every day. Every day we declare victory. So how can you be upset? I think it's quite ungrateful and actually quite irritating for you to get upset, because we've won the war. Have you not heard this?
Yeah, we've won it 8 times, and it's ridiculous because the Strait of Hormuz is closed and the whole entire world is, you know, on the brink of an energy crisis. So it doesn't feel like we're winning. And I know the boomers that watch those, you know, AI saw videos of us blowing up stuff like it's some great victory. Well, they've knocked a few of our planes out of the air. They've killed 13 military, you know, soldiers of ours, which I'm sure the number's higher. And that kind of just really should make people think, why are they being, they'll say it's operation security is why they're not telling us how many people died.
Right.
Trust me, there's a lot more people that have died in this war that are seriously injured that they're not telling us about. And, yes. You know, now that we have boots on the ground, that number's going to just skyrocket.
Yeah, and you know, we thought this was something that could possibly be avoided. It seems like they've made the decision. Here's the thing. I feel like we all signed up to, you know, boost the Republican Party because we believe in the Republican Party and we believe in the message of Trump. And, you know, a lot of people would still like to think that way and believe that way. But until we see the mid-level people, the empty suits that are around and control everything but are kind of nameless, until we see those people start to swap out with, like, real American populists, I don't see how you get actual change because it's just you're talking to an HR robot. And like me and you, we know through the basis of our information, how long we presented it, like I'm not trying to make an arrogant statement here. We know we're correct about being free speech and anti-war, right? Like we know that's a correct position to have, is it not?
100%. And what's crazy is Harmeet Dillon has spent more time making sure that people are, you know, having their First Amendment taken away on a college campus than they are on, you know, things that actually matter to the American people. Right. And I think your dad is a perfect example of that, who is a free speech warrior who they attacked for using his First Amendment rights.
And where's the mercy? Where's the love?
No mercy.
They tell Ed Norton to shut up. Todd Blanche tells him to shut up. He canceled the investigation. You can't tell me there wasn't something possible. You can't tell me there was forward momentum. Number one, I know all the details of the case. Most other people don't know. Number two, why did Ed Martin meet with him in D.C.? If there wasn't going to be a plan of action, things taken care of. And my dad was so happy when that was going on. I just saw him get dashed to rocks. And I just want to say to the administration, you promised to back the people that backed you. We have been fighting so hard for a decade straight, literally since 2018, to get you elected. What is the Trump administration? What is it? Because it's not the thing that we backed or that we repped. It's something else entirely. And it's like waking up. It's like waking up next to a monster in bed. Almost.
No, and one thing that I was surprised about, Alex Brusewicz has a viral tweet this morning where he called out Josh Shapiro's horrible speech where he was talking about how he is the leader of MAGA, basically. And he called him out and said Josh Shapiro was, you know, campaigning against Donald Trump in 2024. So he hasn't been MAGA long enough to, you know, really have an opinion on the whole entire movement. So there are people within Trump's camp that are empathetic to us to a degree, and that's still not really resonating with the president, it feels like. So I don't know how we break through to him. But if I had $150 million like Miriam Adelson and I could donate it to Trump, I'm sure that would probably change his mind. But the normal people, you, me, your dad, the rest of America, we don't have that sort of influence because we don't have that sort of money.
Yes.
And it's obvious that if you did have that money, it'll convince Donald Trump to go start a quagmire in the Middle East.
And the thing that's so incredible about that, the thing that blows my mind about what you just said is, or say it again so I can repeat the point. My bad. I just lost my train of thought a little bit.
How we don't have $150 million to influence Donald Trump to go start a war in the Middle East. We don't have that sort of swing.
Right. And you'd think that the actual, like, on the ground work that we had done would buy us a seat at the table, but it's not about that. It's purely monetary. And that's what I was trying to say. That's the real disgusting thing that I've realized about politics is that you can't affect change unless you influence the big green number.
Exactly right. It's basically, and I hate to say it, it's a pay to play scheme right now. And I think that that's going to be very bad because they had to use a Russiagate. That was all nonsense.
Right.
And they tried to impeach Trump for that. But now I think there is evidence where you can almost buy Trump's influence. And I hate to say that, but I just think the writing's on the wall for this administration, unless they try to do something to rectify the midterms. Cause if God forbid Tallarico beats Cornyn, which I would like, but I'm saying God forbid Tallarico beats Ken Paxton and becomes a senator, that is just going to be the first domino that falls of very
many.
You think about
how we get to a vegan, heretical, the heretic preacher being elected as a United States senator for Texas. Think about how we get there. We don't get there in a vacuum. We get there because promises made, promises broken. It's a very simple concept. The thing I was trying to say earlier is, like, there are a lot of really interesting people in that cabinet. You got J.D. Vance, you got Tulsi Gabbard, you got RFK Jr., all people with potential future presidential aspirations. And this admin, tied a rock, tied a boulder to their ankle and just threw them into the ocean. That's what blows my mind. Because you say that there are people in the admin or people in the political sphere that is sympathetic to our talk because they know that's how most Americans feel. In my mind, like, if I was any one of these people, I would just resign. And then I would have my political campaign built in. That would be what I would run on.
Yeah, but after the attacks on Joe Kent, I'm sure Tulsi Gabbard's scared to death to even say anything against the administration. And you know what's funny? Joe Kent was very pro-Israel, was going after people for not supporting Israel. Then he gets in office and people think, oh, well, now it's some sort of deep state operative to go against the cause. When in reality, maybe he just saw all the information that we're not privy to and decided that, you know, he knows what's actually going on and he can tell the influence is, you know, not organic, that is causing us to have all these problems that our country's facing.
Well, he came out and said that his wife died in a war manufactured by Israel. And I've been around media my whole life. You've been around media for a very long time as well. You don't say things like that. Yeah, that's not something that is said. But because of the environment that we've been put into with this war in Iran, you finally have an example that is so stark that you can point to where that's a position you can fight on now. You know, that's how the Overton window has shifted.
Yeah, but it's shifted in a very weird direction where MAGA has been totally hijacked and it's not what the people voted for. And,
it's MAGA.
You know, here it's... Yeah, well, here at CPAC, there are people that are going to still support Donald Trump, but that's because we haven't felt the repercussions of this $150 million, or, you know, $150 a barrel oil.
Yes.
Because we're energy independent to a degree, so we're going to be okay. But if this lasts for 60 to 90 days, we're all going to be screwed. And until that happens, it's just like the pandemic. Everybody put on the mask at first. A lot of conservatives got vaccinated, and it took a little while to realize until people started getting myocarditis and young people started getting cancer, you know, at a very weird young age, for people to realize that maybe the government doesn't have our best interests. Maybe the government does lie to us. And, you know, there's so many examples like the Gulf of Tonkin, which was a false flag attack to get us involved in the Vietnam War.
Right.
So the government constantly does this. And we have such cognitive dissonance where we know the government lies, but we don't think that they're lying about this particular war. And it just really frustrates
pretty
me
much,
trying to break through these people.
Pretty much like Orwell, like 1984, of course, war is peace. Literally everything these elected officials say is the opposite. Like the reality is the inverse of what they say. So they actually do tell you the truth. And to the people that are like, no, 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 he's actually not lying. He's saying what's correct. It's like you're walking down into Plato's cave and seeing the people watching the shadows and they tell you that it's real.
No, but the Orwellian aspect of COVID, we constantly talk about 1984. But I think this is even a better description of it where they say, we have to create this war for peace. We're literally fighting this war to create peace. And you're like, wait, how does bombing a school full of 170 kids create peace? But they will tell you that it does because we are in an Orwellian nightmare, or at least heading towards one very quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's the reality. I think that's why the work that you and me do is so valuable. Talking to people specifically on the street and just having real world conversations with real people. That's why I'm really excited for that Boomer piece to come out because people need to see that. And you're talking about agreeing on domestic policy and then the foreign policy issue. I really want to do a video like what you're doing, but what I want to do is I want to find people that are like pro liberation of Gaza, pro Palestinian people, pro their sovereignty, but are also super radically pro-Ukraine war. And I want to explain to them how that's hypocritical, how that's cognitive dissonance, how you can't hold those two positions together. Right? Does that make sense to you?
It makes perfect sense. But you know what? The only way I think Donald Trump could rectify this, but of course Israel first would never let him do this. All he has to do is come to the negotiation table with Vladimir Putin to try to, you know, because Russia is such big allies with Iran, and simultaneously end the war in Ukraine while also ending this war by, I guess, giving the Donbass region whatever Putin wants at this point. I think you got to almost give it to him.
Yep.
Because if he could help negotiate with Iran and end this war and open up the Strait of Hormuz, Donald Trump would look like a hero to all the people that are just kind of, you know, barely paying attention. But I just don't even know if that's a possibility because the left hates Russia so much. So that will be just, you know, more quivers and more arrows in their quiver to shoot at Trump.
Yes, and we got to kill that Star Wars story. We got to realize that all these governments are evil. They all have self-interest. Ultimately, government at best is a necessary evil. That's Patrick Henry, the most consequential founding father. And that's incredibly true. Okay, government doesn't have free will. The government only does what we, the people, tolerate them doing. And how much longer will we tolerate this being lied to our face? It's like you say, it's so easy. It's like he said himself, Trump, I'll end the war overnight. Just one phone call, it'll be done. Well, that's true. And that's always been true, and that continues to be true day after day after day after day. And we're just asking for what you call yourself, Trump. We're asking for the peace president. Stein, you're asking for the peace president to make an appearance, correct?
Yeah, 100%. And like you said earlier, Donald Trump has sabotaged the political careers of J.D. Vance. And I know Marco Rubio is going to be the nominee, but his ears are too big to win the election. And I'm not even kidding. When he gets on stage, it looks like a car with the doors open. I mean, and he always used to get bullied for his big ears. He's 5'10". If he goes and stands next to Gavin Newsom, people are not going to even look at their political ideology. They're going to look at one guy looks like a handsome guy with a big family. The other guy looks like, you know, Dumbo, the elephant. So, it's just going to be it's not going to be a good situation. Well, AOC's part of it. People will vote for AOC as well.
Yeah, well, they're trying to do the Latino Obama thing with Rubio. That's how they're trying to position him and run him as the war hawk, just like Obama was, as the ethnic, just like Obama was. And you look, he is Dumbo. Look at Dumbo right there. We got Dumbo up on screen.
Rex, his shoes don't even fit. I know Donald Trump gave him a pair of shoes. He wants to wear them to appease Donald Trump, but just find that same brand of shoes and order the ones that fit. But these guys will literally walk around in uncomfortable shoes that don't fit, giving them blisters just to make Donald Trump happy. When, how are you going to operate? Like, I know that sounds like a stupid thing, an inconsequential thing, but you're walking around and making these important decisions with shoes that don't fit. Sure. I mean, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It makes no sense. If anything, I want our administration to have footwear that fits on their feet, but we can't even get that from this administration right now.
Well, they have a saying in Persia, when you invite the clown into the castle, the clown doesn't become a king, the palace becomes a circus. Sadly, I think we're seeing some ramifications of that. We believe in the administration, or believed in the administration, I should say. We wanted them to do better. One of these people that have political careers, they have shot themselves in the foot, in the neck, and in the back. The great Alex Stein at CPAC, where do people find you? We got 15 seconds.
Well, guys, I'll be going on Fish Tank too, Sam Hyde's reality show. That's kind of the big thing I want to plug. I'll get you on, Rex. I'll bring you on. This Monday, I should be on Fish Tank.
Love you, Alex. Thank you so much. The great Alex Stein, the champion.
Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is funded by you. I am not funded by the Israelis, the Russians, the Iranians, the Qataris, the Democrats, the Republicans, any NGOs, any of that. I'm funded by the few sponsors we have that are amazing, like Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, and our supplements, t-shirts, great knives, you name it. Everything we sell is something I think's cool, that I think's great, that works really well. And I'm here to tell you folks that supplements are one of the fastest growing industries in the last 30 years. Go to Whole Foods, go anywhere. It's like, it just gets bigger and bigger because they work. There's a lot of great stuff at Whole Foods or GNC. But what we sell is the creme de la creme at prices way lower than you can get the exact same thing at Whole Foods, because most of what we have is just private label of already a top brand. I don't reinvent the wheel. When something's got top ratings, totally tested, 5 stars, we can private label it. Baby, we just slap our name on it and sell it to you at a discount. But some of the stuff, like T3, is the only true atomic iodine. And I didn't mean it's radioactive. It's on the atomic table. It's the good halogen, the opposite of fluoride. You have to have a DEA license to manufacture this. Nobody does it but us. It takes up to 8 weeks to make it. It's made in Arizona. This is the same as X2, but even stronger. It's a patented process. T3 iodine is now available at thealogenstore.com. And we have a flash sale that's only going until tomorrow night at midnight Central Time, 1 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Pacific. And that is the two awesome vehicles. One of the offers is ending. The new one started this week. So you can get put in to the raffle 500 entries. Excuse me. You can put in 100 entries. It's normally just 5 entries for everything you buy in the store each time, for the raffle to be able to get the Ford Mustang Shelby GT500, the 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash. Normally, each thing you buy, each time you're in the store, you get 5X entry into the lottery. This to the raffle, this is 100X until midnight Central tomorrow. So take advantage of that. But even cooler is the backpack Faraday bag. They only got a limited number of these 5-6 months ago. They sold out in one day. They got a lot more this time, but it's still a limited run.
I bet this is sold out in less than a week. It is a beautiful backpack with all these inner pockets and zippers, and it's just amazing. I bought a similar bag for over $500 years ago. This is amazing. It protects your phones, your laptops, your iPads from being tracked. When you don't have them in these, everywhere you go, you're being tracked by private corporations, criminals, government, you name it. Plus, if there's an EMP blast, you name it, it protects what you've got. So you want to keep stuff in your house that you'll save from that. It's also great to do that. And it comes with a whole bunch of free gifts inside of it. Because these bags are usually, you know, over $500. It's a $600 value. You get it for $249 if you're a VIP member, $199. And you get an America First Faraday bag, America First Tactical Trench Knife, America First Limited Edition T-shirt, MK Ultra Atomic Defense Brain Boosters and Immune Boosting Shilajit Gummies and Capsules, CMOS Gummies and Capsules. That's two bottles each. War Cry Premium Smelling Salts and so much more in the bag. Get it now at theolishowstore.com and keep us on the air. Plus, these are great products.
Show here at 11 a.m. Central, but you got me for another 25 minutes. Let's get into it now. Okay, I don't know what this is about. I got to turn myself down the headphones a little bit here. I'm not sure what this is about, but I'm very excited. The crew tells me they have a work of high art. They wouldn't exactly give me if it was fiction, nonfiction. All I know is it's relevant news. It comes from the internet. Let's react to this live. Let's see what it is.
你是吧？你是谁？来我家做什么？你是不是打算用油来炸鱿鱼？我们只是研究拿来点灯用来生产而已呀！别听他狡辩，他搞出来是想炸我们的，搞定他，把他炼油的东西都砸了。哼，还狡辩！ 没人比我更懂怎么用油，不过我们也不是不可以商量。你竟然偷袭我！你，以后他在院子里面石油都是我的了。<笑> 给我们的长老报仇！大哥怎么进去这么久？不是说下线那个老头就行了吗？没什么，大哥一定会带给我们一个惊喜的。出事了，别管大哥了，快跑啊！哎呀，别打了，别打了！我一定会回来的。
So we got kind of a classic Godzilla stop motion claymation epic made. That does explain the war pretty much. Israel's like a parasitic squid that's attached itself to the American eagle's brain. Let's go ahead and see. Where did this originate from, guys? You wanted to show it to me so bad. Where does it come from? The Chinese made this? All right, well, you know what they say, Chinese state broadcast on America and Iran, episode 2. Well, they used to say left can't meme. Now I guess America can't meme because they're memeing on us with this pretty hard right here. This is liquid gold, the Meowatola. What I've heard my dad say this, I hear him say the moolah. And it makes me think of a cow. So maybe instead of the cat, I get Meowatola. Maybe they could have done the moolah, where it's a cow people instead. I think that might have been slightly funnier. But okay, Well, that's the truth of the events as they've taken place. The Iranians, they're trying to use nuclear power for civilian purposes. The Ayatollah, the Mawatollah, he had a fatwa, a religious order, a decree. It's a crime against God to make a nuclear weapon. At least it was when he was alive and he issued that order. And we killed him. We killed him and we pushed them towards the development of a nuke because problem, reaction, solution. I hate to break this to you. The goal of this country and the goal of Israel has always been that they get one. That's why I didn't like the JCPOA. I hate Obama. No fan of Obama. That was a pretty good deal. And I'm sure I got someone in the audience going, it wasn't a good deal. You know what he's talking about. He's going to have a nuclear weapon anyway. Israel has over 200 nuclear warheads. They're not a signatory to the NPT. Iran is a signatory to the NPT. Very, very simple stuff. So you can't be a hypocrite and say we need to declare war on this one country that might be a nuclear threat when there's this other country that is a nuclear threat to us as they threatened the Yom Kippur War in 1973. Jonathan Pollard. Just type it in, guys. Jonathan Pollard into X. You'll find it. Jonathan Pollard, Yom Kippur War, nuclear weapon, unconventional weapon. Because we got this guy. Guess what? Oh! In prison for 30 years for treason, Trump commutes his sentence. He flies over to Israel, literally kisses the ground at Bibi Netanyahu's feet. See if we can find the two clips. See if we can find him arriving back in Israel, literally worshiping Bibi Netanyahu, performing shoe worship on Bibi Netanyahu. And then let's get him talking about the nuclear weapons because these are the greatest allies. And it is, it's like a demented squid on top of your head. It's like, oh no, we don't want them to be a powerful state. Why does it matter to America, the most powerful state in the world, if Iran's a powerful state? Oh, it doesn't matter to us at all. They're a complete non-threat. Oh, it's the squid that's the problem. It's the squid that's the issue. The squid is Bibi Netanyahu, Jonathan Pollard, and the Zionist colonial project itself. Look at that. And it grows the Trump wig on him as well. Liberal, liberal, liberal. Happy fun, la, 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 human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, forced government euthanasia. Look at that. The 30-year prison sentence for treason, kisses the ground, performs worship of the ground at Netanyahu's feet as Netanyahu stands over him. Literally, his wife does it well. You must bow to Netanyahu. You must do it. You must kiss the holy tarmac of Israel. Israel. I'm going to start saying it like that. Israel. So this guy was involved in high-level espionage operations. This guy was in heavy communication with the IDF, possibly working with them during the Yom Kippur War. He talks about the unconventional weapons that they threatened to use. Do you have that clip? If you don't have it, it's totally okay. We can wait a little while longer. I can give you a little more context to the clip, to talking about it. He says, oh, yeah, well, you know, Kissinger, the Americans, they didn't want to give us arms shipments, and we were losing the war. So, hey, we parked the jet on the runway. It's got unconventional weaponry loaded under the wing. And we tell the Americans, we say, use your eye in the sky and check under the wing of that plane. And he says the arms embargo lifted the next day. Go figure. Go figure, right? Jonathan Pollard, that's MAGA. Right. Mark Levin, that's MAGA. Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, that's MAGA. Not you, not me, not the people that are sick of all this, that just wanted better domestic policy. As Stein said, you know, even the boomers, they agree on the domestic policy. They agree the domestic policy needs to be made better. But you can't have the quality domestic policy without quality foreign policy of anti-intervention, no foreign entanglements. Let's toss Jonathan Pollard, world record for treason.
I mean, it's hard for me to admit this. We are now feeding our enemy. I mean, this has never happened in history before, and you have to ask why. And I don't want to hear this business that it's consistent with Jewish morality. It isn't. Anybody saying that doesn't know anything about Jewish morality at all.
Well, I think also our leaders have had their necks in a vice grip by other countries who...
Okay, let me give you an example of that. I was criticized very heavily for opposing the ceasefire, the American-imposed ceasefire in Lebanon on us. And I was told by certain people in the government, look, we didn't have choice because we were being threatened with a complete cutoff of arms. So I listened to this. And the individual telling me this said, you don't believe this or what? I said, well, I believe that the O'Biden administration, as I called it, did threaten us. But I said, you're mistaken if you think there's never a choice. There was a choice. He said, well, what? Is it to have our weapons cut off? I said, no, let me bring you back to October 1973 during the Yom Kippur War when Henry Kissinger instituted an arms embargo against us. He stopped the aerial resupply of our army at that point to extract diplomatic concessions from us. And what happened? What happened was an A-4 Skyhawk was parked at Tel Nof Air Base with some interesting weapons under its wings. And we told the Americans, take your eye in the sky and take a good look at the airplane that's on that runway. And the next day, the airlift started. So the guy that I was talking...
Which airlift?
To Israel.
Uh-huh.
The arms airlift.
So in other words, we threatened their...
We threatened to use unconventional weapons. I'll leave it at that. And so he said, is this what you want us to threaten now? I said, absolutely. Except this time I want us to go forward with it if necessary. If they think we're bluffing, we go forward with it. Look,
some people might look at this and hear you saying these things and say, he's a dangerous dude. You know, he could, you know, blow up the entire Middle East.
Well, I guess people really haven't been keeping their eyes open since October 7th because the whole Middle East has blown up.
Oh, you mean October 7th, the thing that was organized and rigged, a green flag operation, pretty much on record if you just look at the facts of the most militarized nation with the smallest, most controlled borders pretty much in the entire world, and their lack of response time for 8 to 10 hours as thousands of their own civilians were being slaughtered, the civilians they're supposed to protect. Every inch of that border is covered. Okay, but he points to it and he goes, but October 7th, but October 7th, but October 7th, over and over and over again. You're like, hey, you know, I don't want the Palestinians to be killed. Don't want the Iranians to be killed. Don't want the Lebanese to be killed or displaced, any of that. And he goes, No. You're saying we're doing all this. You're saying we're threatening to use nukes. No, you don't do that. Because, you see, since October 7th, the whole entire world has changed. The Middle East is on fire. Who did that? Who started the fire? We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the Jews have been turned and blah, blah, blah. Okay, it seems like it's organized by Netanyahu. So we sit here in that, we focus on that, and then we see these people, and she goes, well, you threaten to use unconventional weapons. You're implying nukes. She doesn't say that, but it's implicit in the conversation. She goes, like, you sound like a dangerous dude. You sound like you want to blow up the whole Middle East. Yes. Yes, those are your people. Those are the people responsible for the end of the world doomsday death cult planning that we all live. Look, they worship Netanyahu. The guy that's in love with the nukes and wants us to use them and thinks we're authorized to do so, meaning us, the empire, the evil state of Israel, he's kissing the ground at Netanyahu's feet. This is what we deal with, okay? We deserve what we tolerate, man. How do y'all feel about Trump letting this guy out of jail? Is that pretty cool and based? I don't think it's pretty cool and based at all. I got a big problem with it. And it's like Alex Stein said, we blew up a school. We killed 180 little kids and their teachers. Those people, the little kids and our teachers, they're our enemy. They're the terrorists. They probably had enriched uranium under the school. That's why we had to blow it up. And hey, they blew it up themselves anyway. They have tomahawks, even though only France, Germany, UK, and Japan besides us have the tomahawk weapons. Trump just goes out there and lies about it. It's okay. Those are our enemies. Those aren't our allies. The evil slug man from Monsters, Inc., who's in prison and jail for treason for decades.
I mean, it's hard for me to...
Oh, I mean, I'm hearing evil slug man in my ear. I guess that was a little glitch there. But this evil slug man, that's MAGA. The Israeli threatening and use of nuclear weapons is MAGA. That's what's going on in this conflict right now behind the scenes. Netanyahu is saying, if you don't back us, if we're going to lose this regional conflict, if we're going to lose this war, we are going to deploy the nuclear weapons that we have at our disposal. And that's the real reason, even beyond the Epstein files, even beyond the governmental control and AIPAC, all of it. That's the real reason we're in this conflict, is because we never learned how to tell these people no, like a dog. Sit down. No. Out of the kitchen. Out of the kitchen. Get in the car. Get in the car. That's how we should have talked to these people the whole time. And oh no, we couldn't do that. Oh no, we couldn't be brave. Oh no, we had to make enemies into our allies and allies into our enemies. Would be allies into our enemies and would be our enemies, still enemies, into our allies. And we're in this position now because of the American ignorance of the situation. Pollard says Jewish people will always have dual loyalty and should consider spying for Israel. Keep in mind, Huckabee meets with this guy in 2011 and has met with him multiple times since he's been freed from prison. It's occupied government. It's occupied nation. It's a Zionist occupied government. It's called ZOG. There's a whole name for it. And they, you know, they killed the guy that made that t-shirt. So this is what we deal with. It's not even a conspiracy theory. It's just the facts of the real world end of life. And if I was in a debate with a Josh Hammer or a, who's the other one, John Doyle, any of these people, and they do the rhetoric trick, they do the tap dance, they do the speedster, the speed bogging, they think that works. When if you have an actual base of empirical facts, data, and information, and if you've seen the clips of these people behave this way and talk about it openly about what they are, which is genocide, nuclear-armed, warmongering, neocon murderers, okay, torturers as well, but murderers above everything else, and then that's the ally, that's MAGA? Okay, well, if that's MAGA, you know, maybe we should have our own thing, but I think that we're still MAGA. I think the people listening to me are still MAGA. The people like me that voted for Trump multiple times are still MAGA. We know what we wanted. We had a political platform we subscribed to, and I'll say it again. I'll say it over and over and over again until I'm blue in the face. If Donald Trump did what we elected him to do, he would have been the greatest president ever since Washington, since Lincoln, whatever you want to say. And that's still true. All right, that's still true. Nothing has changed. But it's one of those great what-ifs in history, because instead of taking that historic mandate to lead, instead of taking that historic opportunity to plow forward and be that new George Washington, ignite the American culture, rebuild American strength, real peace through strength, real bringing biblical values back, instead of doing that, we are at MIGA. Are you MIGA, my MIGA? Are you chilling with me, my MIGA? Real MIGAs roll deep. We all know this. And they roll deep with each other. They support each other. They build their own echo chamber. Oh, you're doing great, Mr. President. Oh, you're doing great, Secretary of War. Oh, you're doing great, Huckabee. Just be our slaves and do whatever we say. And hey, you're on the winning team, right? Because we're the smart people and we run this world. We reject that completely. You don't run this world. The voting public of the American electorate runs our country. And by running our country, we want to make demands so that we're not this fake world policeman anymore. The reason why we've lost all this power is you got to throw that up again. I hate AI, bro. It makes me like 50 years old because it thinks I'm 50. Gosh, man. I got to get the hair transplant. I got to look smacked. I'm sitting here busted. We got Levin and Shapiro laughing. Yeah, they put MAGA in the MIGA wood chipper, and these MIGAs spat us out. You know, I'm sitting here like, you cannot be serious, my MIGA. You got to chill with it. You got to calm down. Okay, we're going to beat them. We're going to get them out of office. This United States-Israel connection is untenable. And as the boomers age out, as the younger population starts to rise, even if the younger population, even if they are imperialists, like, you know, a lot of the monarchist people are and whatnot, even if they are like that, they're not going to be pro-Israel anymore. And when this gets out of circulation in our government, when this fever breaks, we're going to have to take a look around us at the wreckage of what's gone on and try to find a solution. And guess what? They're still going to be over there. They're going to be over there with all their power, all their influence. We're going to fight this war for them and at least leave them in somewhat of a defensible position. We're not going to let them go away. If they were ever to go away, they would use nukes or we would use nukes, period. So they're there to stay. We're in decline. We're suffering. We want things to get better. It's not allowed. Let's close it out with that Larry Johnson clip. I'll give a little bit of reaction to it.
And he was supposed to speak at CPAC on Sunday, and he's canceled that. So those are, again, sort of what I call warning indicators that, you know, he's clearing his schedule, right. So he's not going to be available. If the United States proceeds with this, and again, I have no inside information that they're going to, but I'm just, you know, looking at this analytically, you don't deploy those units just to say, oh, let's put them out in theater. They're planning to do something, and they're involving the whole menu of the special operations community. And this is, when you're going to put your most skilled assets at this kind of risk, you better have a good plan. But the word circulating from those operators is nobody's done any damn planning on this.
Well, and you have to wonder just what in the world is going on here. I mean, what would be the objectives? Because there's been a couple of bits of information out, which is important on the other side of this potential operation here. Number one is that the Iraqi side has said, hey, you know, our the PMF, the Shia militia that's part of the Iraqi security forces, they're aligned with Iran, but they are part of the Iraqi security forces. They have been authorized to retaliate against the U.S. and Israel strike that kills their fighters, that has killed their fighters, rather, in Anbar province. There's also information that the Houthis may finally be getting involved. This, they have threatened in the Bab al-Mandab that they may close the Red Sea off to the U.S. And so who knows whether they're going to. But, I mean, you could get a situation here to where you could have the Bab al-Mandab shut down, the Strait of Hormuz shut down, and all of this is if we attempt to attack anybody inside you know, on the ground inside of Iran, because, for example, and this is what there's the parliamentary speaker for Iran has said, we're closely monitoring all U.S. movements in the region, especially troop deployments. What the generals have broke, the soldiers can't fix. Instead, they will fall victim to Netanyahu's delusions. Do not test our resolve to defend our land. You know, we've seen a lot of times where, Zelensky, for example, in the Russia-Ukraine war, he made a lot of boasts and pretty grandiose claims that he was never able to.
So we've got this from the White House. This says coming, something new, and you got a loading screen here, like a phone update or a computer charging or whatever. So everything he's talking about in that clip, they think it's cute to hint at it. They think it's cute to dangle that in front of your face and to let you know, hey, citizen, hey, slave, hey, servant of the empire, get ready, wake up. There's going to be something new to do soy face to and react to on social media. We're about to do this ground invasion. Isn't it cool? And they got the meme. See if we can get the thing of like Trump where he's like Slender Man and he's got like the V2 behind him. Should be on like the Department of War propaganda page. On X or whatever. If we can't find that in time, it's okay. They're selling you on the idea of death and murder and destruction on the side of, hey, it's cool to be a part of the empire. It's a cool thing to be on the Death Star. It's a cool thing to blow up Alderaan. And it's a very simple thing. We reject it. We're Americans. We're anti-war. We're anti-foreign entanglements. We believe what our founding fathers said, but George Washington said that it would destroy the country. That it had the biggest potential out of anything to wreck us. And look at what's happening right now. Because these other countries, they're doing things in their interest. They're not in America's interest. They're in Israel's interest. They're in Ukraine's interest. And it doesn't help us. It hurts us to side with them. And this is a very simple concept. Just want to make my prediction again. I predict they're going to hit the power and deploy the troops at or around the exact same time. I think that happens before Monday. I regret having to share that yet again, but it is true. And we must keep our eye out for that. Keep in mind, you're about to join the Alex Jones Show. He's got a lot of guests, a lot of breaking information, a lot of quality talking that you're going to want to catch. It's going to be 11 to 3 p.m. Central. Also coming up, I'll be a fool to forget it. And hopefully I'll be on with him for an hour on Monday as well. The great Harrison Smith hosts the War Room 3 to 6 p.m. You're going to want to be there Central Time. I mean, the network is so great. You get to start your morning with me, hang out, do whatever. Get to hang out with the big dog, get to hang out with AJ, and then you get to hang out with Harrison there in the third hour. Really can't ask for anything better. And keep in mind, Monday through Wednesday, me and Tim Tompkins will be here in studio. So it's not just me and you one-on-one. We'll be taking calls, having conversations, doing all of it. But I want to remind you, before we end here, it's a free subscription, or a free limited edition t-shirt for every subscription that you sign up for. We've got the phenomenal Faraday bag bundle. That's like $199 if you're a member, $500 value. But every time I'm here, I'm going to plug the Power Drive bundle, because here's the thing. I made these two products myself together, formulated them along with dozens of other products I formulated for various supplement companies, including InfoWars Life and Dr. Jones Naturals over the years. I made these two products to be perfect to take with Methylene Blue. This is the absolute jet fuel highest priority bundle for you. If you're someone that takes Methylene Blue and that Ultimate Methyl Drive, you're going to get the CoQ10, the PQQ, mitochondrial biogenesis, electron transport chain function, antioxidant support. All of it is there, as well as magnesium and high quality methylation agents, B12 and other vitamins to ensure proper methylation and proper use of your Methylene Blue. And Power Plant, let me tell you about Power Plant. If you want the new Superman Vitality, if you you want testosterone boost, if you want vitality, if you want strength, energy, and speed, you don't go anywhere else but to choose Power Plant. Take it together with Methyl Drive. It's got the cordyceps. It's got the testosterone boosting mineral complex. And of course, it's got the golden root, the Viking adaptogen, the same adaptogen that Vikings chewed on boats, the same ancient herb. They also call it Arctic root, Rhodiola rosea, high dose, 300 milligram. That's the dose used in the Soviet studies. I used the first ever adaptogen to make that product. You know, the Soviets studied it. Everybody studied it. They used it on their athletes. Incredible results. Boost dopamine, norepinephrine. Makes you more an effective, makes you more of an effective operator. So if you want to be an effective operator, take Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant. Take it in conjunction with Methylene Blue. Cut back to me. Thank you so much for being here. It's always an incredible gift and a journey to get to do the American Journal with you. I hope you're having a phenomenal morning. I hope you're powering through your day. You're going to want to stay tuned. Alex Jones has a lot of breaking information for you. As always, this is the Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines. I am your host, Rex Jones of the American Journal Today. And I thank you again for being a phenomenal audience and being here with me and staying the course. We've run this race. Get ready to run another one. Alex Jones and the great Harrison Smith coming up. Choose power today. Choose victory. Choose Americana. Choose to be a patriot. I know you already are. Prove it to some other people.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with Ultra Methylene Blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best Methylene Blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the Methylene Blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with Methylene Blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.